It's Summerland Ham! Brought to you by Good Game St. James.
Kellington.
Crack open the Crayolas. Chase a stone down a young park. This podcast has more backers than the Angelarium Kickstarter. Do you mark winters by the amount of times you've been copping ski in the face? When offered bacon, do you reply, Nils Ham? Or is it your staples diet? This might just be the episode for you. So taste that tang as you yang your wang and listen to today's Seven Land Hand. That's right, listener, it's Seven Land Hand, the only show stupid enough to review a visual medium on a podcast.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's about to be. We're talking about MTG card art today. That, for those not used to that, that's the colourful bit between the card name and the card type. To avoid total failure, drawn into the pod, we have a beautifully folded origami lotus named Madison Jones.
Not true at all.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
And a man resembling Jackson Pollock's still life of barbed wire humping a hairdressing salon, it's Austin Mengler!
That is probably the best introduction for me I've ever heard.
You're going to put that on the banner on the next con?
That's going to be the next, right underneath austinmengler.com.
Where people will enter
about me page.
Jackson Pollock's still life, yeah.
You can see people paying at the front of a convention just going, I'm just looking for, what? Oh, I've got his name. It's, what it is it
Where's
some barbed wire?
That looks like a barbed wire humping hairdressing salon.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, Austin. Oh, he's just down in
that guy, yep.
Table number 34.
That's me.
All right, lady, gentlemen, how are we?
Good.
What have you been up to?
Not much, man. I'm pretty busy. Got like a whole...
Not much, but busy. Pretty busy.
Yeah. Well, that's my general go-to. I got a bunch of conventions to get ready for, and I got lots of art on the way.
Yeah.
Lots of monsters, lots of grisly, gory, disgusting stuff.
Yeah, lots good stuff.
Family-friendly stuff.
Well, I don't have any conventions on the way.
You just did your first.
I just did my first.
I was there. I saw you. You were rocking it.
Yeah.
You were
tucked away in the other room.
The corner.
right next to the stage area, became like the hardest. Like I walked away and thought, I'll get you some stuff for today's pod, actually.
Yep.
And I'll come back. And by the time I got back, there was a presentation on, and Maddie was just beneath about 100 people.
This was an Evolve pop culture fair.
That was it.
The other weekend. Yeah.
Is that the first one that they've done in
the first
fair?
One they did? Yeah.
It was actually pretty good.
It was, yeah.
It was, obviously smaller than the big Oz Comic Cons and all that, for a first time it was really good.
Just trying it out, I guess.
Yeah, good stuff.
There's a lot of cool cosplay. That's what I got smothered under.
you got smothered under cosplay.
Yeah, no, it was.
That's the dream, Maddie. That's the dream.
I saw Darth Vader walking around like this kid was like,
wasn't the real Darth Vader, Austin?
He even had the noise. He was going,
I think the Groot was the most impressive.
The Groot.
The Groot.
Oh, the Groot was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was huge. Did you see his little, had a little fluffy rocket raccoon on his shoulder?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
So, there is more on the cards, but we're going to find out where to catch up with you guys a bit later on after we've done
the
show.
Get stuck into some magic now.
Yeah.
If you want some art magic later, stay tuned.
Yeah. we'll bust the booster because that really shat the...
I'm ready to bust the booster.
The old magic players off last time because we ignored everything and chose a Noah Bradley art land.
I showed all my magic knowledge in that pod, I think, which was zero.
Well. All right, I'm going to leave that comment alone. It was there for hitting out of the park. We'll be back. Bust the booster!
It's Dylan Kennington.
All right, it's time to bust the booster and drive all your magic players crazy.
I'm ready to bust some boosts.
It's already been busted. Listen to this.
Oh,
we're doing Fate Reforged.
There's blood going everywhere. He's busting that boost.
Fate Reforged busting boosters.
I just need one more boost.
So we're going to go through this.
So quickly.
all 15 cards. Oh, there's a token as well. Oh, Raymond Swanland token.
What have we got?
Oh, this could get rich. Hang on. All right, we're going to slow right down.
First one.
So there's nothing to throw away. We're going to go through this entire pack.
Wow.
And maybe talk a little bit about these guys, especially if we haven't got any notes on them coming up.
This is like Christmas. Come early.
Pick our favorite card.
Should I say Easter?
Based on art alone. Mm. None of the all the text and the cost mean nothing to us today.
None of this crappy text stuff.
No,
we want the pictures, please.
The pretty bits.
Be very careful.
All right,
it's crap.
We've got Ancestral Vengeance, which is a Johann. Oh my god, I can't read that at a distance. A Johann Schipach.
Oh, don't know that artist by name.
That's the thing. This is a guy.
It's a good thing they have it here, so now we can have a look at it online.
Oh,
that's an interesting.
What was it called?
I like it. It's Ancestral Vengeance.
Ancestral Vengeance.
It's got a poor little orc guy, like, dying and getting, like, spurting out all this sand. He's like...
What makes you say it's spurting out sand, or is it going into him and choking him?
It looks like he's choking on it.
It
looks like it's coming into him or going after him. Some sort of terrible penetration.
He's hung over after drinking a June the night before, and now he's vomiting and rolling around in the gutter.
His party friends played a prank on him and poured a ton of sand into him, and now he's working on him going, oh, what
I
is
love
this?
That we just made this whole story
but,
up.
That's what it's about.
That's the true fact about what's actually happening.
I'd like to open the bidding with...
Straight from Seven Land Hat.
It's not a strong card. There's not enough contrast in it. It's a bit confusing.
I like the style of it.
All right.
I see what you mean.
But what I was going to say before is there's a lot of artists I noticed when I did my research of names I hadn't seen before.
There was a lot of new artists in the set.
Which is exciting.
I also thought that in Khans and Fate there was a lot of really good art in there.
Yeah.
But then, not a lot of familiar names.
Mm. Yeah, definitely stepping up the game.
Correlation or causation there.
That's great.
All right. I don't know if that one's going to see it to the end. Okay. I'm just opening up with that now.
It's a bit silly.
It doesn't grab me, but I think it
looks a bit Kev Walkerish in my mind. she's been to the Kev Walker
Shots
School
fired,
of Art.
Shots fired.
Speaking of which, Warflare. A bunch of horses, difficult to draw or illustrate.
By our good friend Carl Kapinski.
Now we're talking. Now, I follow him on Facebook, and that dude's sketching regularly.
I've heard of that one. It's not a bad site.
Check
out the people on. Yeah,
yeah. He's regularly sketching Pirate and the Hulk he's been doing recently. Mm. I always used to know him as the Goblin guy. When I first started playing Magic, Carl was churning out a lot of Goblin cards.
Mm. He had a lot of cool little goblins with big heads going...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and they look like goblins, unlike now. Have you seen the new goblins?
No.
They're like strange, hairy little ape things.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well. That's Warflare. You got anything on that, Maddie? What do you reckon?
Again, it's nice. It's a nice card, but it's not like it's like, wow.
I like it, but there's no blood everywhere and there's no demons. So for me, I don't know if it's my sort of thing.
Yeah. It's one of those very clean cards. You get a lot of that in the white cards. You get a lot of that. I reckon Austin's going to end up liking black cards.
I do like getting killed by some sand or something. So that's he looks like he's not having a good day. That's what I'm just going to say.
I also think that the gold cards come off looking a little bit better sometimes because
true.
It's gold and we think it's special.
Yep. Yeah, you got the gold. It looks very nice. Yeah.
All right, so we keep that one on the table, or are you putting that in the? Maddie's putting that in the
I'm just putting them on the table.
Really. If it's good, we'll put it in the center of the table. If it's bad, you just put it with the other ones.
Well, I don't want to say they're bad because they're not bad.
We should see them all first.
Oh, my goodness. This is interesting. I've got a Soul Summons here, which is by Johan Boden. And it's a spiky green light thing falling down a hillside.
Looks very nice.
But it's interesting in terms of comparing it to the Manifest token, which is by Raymond Swanland.
Oh.
And it's almost the same picture, but mirrored.
Well, I just fell over a bit. But, it looks good. Yeah.
Right.
It is. It's like a mirror
image. What happened there? Because apparently they keep it quite guarded as to what's going on art-wise, when they send out the commission.
Yep.
But there's no way they've kept it quiet between those two guys. They've drawn essentially the same thing, haven't they?
Yeah.
I don't know what's up in there.
You know any behind the scenes stuff about that, Austin? How they do
not
send
yet.
Out commissions
not yet.
For not yet,
but possibly one day.
Will do.
But it might be like he's one of them's drawn it, and then the other one's drawn a different version of it, or
it has to be.
It might have been something like that, or maybe they had the same.
I noticed in Theros, there's a lot of sparkly bits like going everywhere, and everyone was using them. It was almost like magic went, here's a sparkle brush. add that onto everything wherever you can.
Give it a bit of sparkle. Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
But I have to say, I think I like...
I love how the conversation like, oh my God.
What?
It's taking a different tone now that we've seen there's two pictures that are similar. It's like, holy crap.
Someone's copying off someone else.
What is going on here? This is a conspiracy theory building.
As a massive Swanland fan, I reckon Swanland's done it. And this other guy's snuck in at night and gone, I'm drawing that as well.
I'm going to be up all night thinking about this. I'm going to be writing up. There's going to be a huge, spreadsheet on the wall, true detective style. Like, what's going on? Who copied who?
Austin's website's going to be full of an article on this tomorrow.
Yep.
Who do we say did Soul Summons again?
Johan Boden?
Yep. Johan Boden.
Yeah, what did I say?
Right, Johan. I don't know. You say Johan, I say Johan.
Give it a J.
Joe.
Yeah. What do we think of that card? Come on, insights, fellas. This is why, fellas, and Maddie.
It's not, but when I see them sitting like next to each other, yeah. I like Raymond Swanland's a lot better.
Mm. Yeah,
like, with all the detail on the floor, and he's got insane amounts of detail.
It's kind of like the Super Saiyan version of the other one.
Yeah, and there's like I like all the like the godlike clouds and stuff. I mean,
Swanland's always going to make it so there's loads of action in it.
Yeah,
where Johan's version's like happening. They're both freeze frames of something going on, but Swanland's is always like you want to duck when you look at a Roman Swanland
picture.
It
looks like there's more like going on in.
Yeah,
you can relate more to the little green orb of
whatever it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, so what I'm hearing is Johan's card goes on the we're not interested part. And the Raven Swanland token goes into the center of the table.
Oh.
That's the manifest, everyone, if you will. Oh. Okay, here we go. Here's a Ryan Barger Sultai Skullkeeper, which is kind of...
That's a mouthful.
Snake.
Oh, man. I like this one.
Yeah, I saw this one in the book.
I like this one.
I like this one.
Yes. Yep. It's got a scary-looking snake man with his fangs out going...
Do you think he's interacting with anything enough, though? Because, you know, that's why I was sort of... I put a post out earlier on about...
looks a bit like he's just come away from a night out on a party, and he's like... Because there's all these skulls around the edge. It's like they're all his friends that he's just...
He's just chomped on.
You know, chomped on.
I love that every story we have behind a car has got to do with drinking alcohol the night before.
Like, this guy got wasted. Is that a bit of his friends?
Is that a bit revealing for my personal life? No. But, it's a cool card. It's got, like... Dark. I like all the composition and how the teeth and the mouth are like a focal point that draw you in. It's like, bam, this is where his scary bits are.
Mm. Yeah, I'm the go-to guy for knowledge as far as cards are concerned. So just give me a second and I'll get back to you. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what do you
I
think?
Like
what do you think, Maddie?
I like it. Yep. I like that it's very dark, but he has kind of...
And
like,
it's using light and contrast and colour.
Yeah, the light and contrast and colour
all them,
to bring him.
All them design theory terms.
Yes, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, what I was getting at was, I can't believe I got confused between Sarkhan Vol and somebody else, but this Sarkhan Vol character, he came out on a Planeswalker, and it's not that this one I'm showing you now, this one's the darkened one. There's another one that came out, I think it was Alexei Bricklow did one, and it was just like adventurer dude, just he was just standing there, and it just was, I thought, totally non-dynamic. I've been shouted down by everybody, everyone loves that card, but I'm getting a little bit of that from the snake man that we're looking at here. Let's see him eating those skulls.
Yeah. It is, you know, adding a story element to an illustration can really bump it up to the next level. For myself, I have to do that a lot. Like, that's something I need to work on because I just love character and monster design and just having them sit there going, look at me, I'm sexy. But to have them, like, doing something or fighting someone else and then you can have all the details on them as well.
I think
that's another extra thing.
Then
you're
adding narrative. Because anyone looking at it is going to say why. And as soon as they, why or what or when, as soon as they ask those questions themselves,
exactly,
I think you're engaging them in the picture.
See, I'm the opposite. That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
I'd love to try and
add a story.
But that's what we're saying. I'm saying that, that's the best thing to do, I'd say.
Yeah.
I thought we agreed on is just that Austin stinks at it.
Yeah. I get
the whole point of this card was is your shit.
What we need to do is we need to get Austin to draw the character, then you to come along and go, he should be doing this.
Yeah.
And then Austin go, I'll have him riding a bike down to the groceries for a cabbage. Yeah.
So is this, what do you think?
Well, it's up to you guys.
No,
is this a middle of the table card or is this a silent?
I like it.
I don't like him.
I don't know. I kind of want to see all of them before we make a decision.
Oh, yeah. Can we put him like, in the middle?
We can put
middle.
It, we put it in the middle and then we come back to it.
Well, I like how you put it in the middle between the two piles.
Yeah, it's in between of the yeses and the like
Well, I've seen the card coming up next, which Austin and I were actually talking about before we began. It's by Darken. It's Reach of Shadows. Looks like, again, it looks like a guy getting his head taken off by a cloud of blackness.
I'm liking this.
This one is sweet because you're asking why.
It's got a character. It's got something happening to his head and something happening below him.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, look at them. Look at them shadowy effects. No, it's dynamic. It's good. It's got the whole bedang.
Cool.
It's the whole deal. It's good.
Are these guys, are any of these guys non-digital artists that you know of?
Probably. I know Darken is. He's a digital artist.
He's all digital, yeah.
As far as I know, most of them are digital, I think.
I think some of them are traditional, but, I, as a digital artist myself, I follow mostly digital artists.
Mm. I think I have heard of some of them drawing traditionally then, like, scanning it in and then painting it in Photoshop.
Was it Chris Rahn who had that traditional oil painting?
Mike Sass. Yeah. I like that guy's name. Mike Sass, he did a lot of, I think, oils or something. He had a few birds and things in the last...
Because I saw sometimes they put it on like eBay, like a bid for like the actual original oil painting. And that was one of that, I think it was for Wizards of the Coast. And they had the lion guy. And it was like, it was going full on. It was like $10,000 bid or something.
Jesus.
It was like, well on, yeah. Going good, yeah.
And he's just sitting there going, oh my God, I'm so rich.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can do it for that like oil painting, it's like, you know, where's the control Z? Where's the right click? Where's the right click make art button? You know, that's what I want.
Computer, draw me this.
Yeah, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
Digital art.
I haven't drawn anything in years. No. It's
so handy.
Yeah. So with that one though, it is, you know, for the smoke effects coming in, I'd be painting that for years on you know, in standard art. That way, you just grab a brush, go splash, 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 instant.
Another cloud, cool oil painter and like traditional artist I know is Sam Flegel. He does some of the magic ones once in a while, I think.
Right.
He's got stuff on YouTube too.
Yeah.
Have a look at that. It's cool.
What do we think of this one then?
I like it. Darkened. I think it's cool.
This is my
I want to see what's
so
next
far,
though, to be honest.
This one's way out in front so far for me.
Yeah?
Okay. We'll put it in the middle.
Okay. It's not up to me though. It's up to you two.
Well.
I try to talk you
like
out
said,
of
it. We don't know what's coming. Maybe once we've got them all out the table, we can decide. Like,
They're all winners in my book, Skullkeeper. I know you've been very diplomatic.
They're all winners in my book.
But there's no. There's going to be 14, at least 14 losers.
That's what we're looking for. How many are we allowed in the middle?
All right.
We'll pick one in the end.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. One.
Now, this next one, I think, pays off on the flavour of the whole card.
Oh, here we go.
So if they've told the artist, Cynthia Shepherd, about this, I think she's done really well. The card is called Harsh Sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the bit of flavour text on the bottom says, the shifting wastes provide refuge to those who know where to look for it.
Mm.
And there's a couple of dudes sitting around in the harsh wastes having a tidy little meal. I don't know if that dragon is the meal.
It looks like, they're summoning or, you know, sapping the life out of this dragon creature. And they're all in a trifecta of sorcery happening.
Yeah.
It's a nice dynamic kind of illustration.
See what I mean about the flavour of this?
It's not really a typical, you know, I'm a monster, look at me. Or it's like, you know, it's more of a, we've snuck over the ridge of the desert and we're peeping and going, what's going on over here? Oh! They're taking off this dragon's life force.
It's a high point of view, isn't it? Over the top. But I think that's so you can see the dragon that's killed around them.
I think it's cool.
And I imagine, without knowing the card too well, that the card's going to aid you rather than do something offensive or something like that. So there's a good flavour overall, I think, of the card.
Yeah.
Dynamic composition. I like it.
I would just say that I would have liked to have maybe seen like more contrast because when in the middle, there's a lot going on.
God,
and because it's all the same kind of tones.
What are you doing, Cynthia? What?
I don't know, it's just my opinion.
She does that though. She's had a few cards which are awesome. When you see them online, you know, in the full high res on the big monitor screen, you go, I fucking never saw that. That looks awesome. And then when it's on a card, you lose a lot because it just ends up being an inch by an inch and a half or something.
Not all the same tones, but it's all kind of in that same range.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be a bit hard to tell.
Yeah, you hold it at arm's length.
Because that's true. You have to make them like work as a very small size.
Yeah, that's what I think is really incredible.
And to do illustration so detailed, to have it still read like so far away is really like, you know.
Yeah, because that happens
top
as well.
Of the line
a
stuff,
lot of them get cropped.
Yeah.
Then you see the full picture, you go, that's insanely good. And then, like this, we've got the Fate Reforged Player's Guide on the table in front of us. That picture is amazing on the cover of the book there, Austin. That, when you see that, the full picture of that, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. It's just brilliant. And it's good there, but it's just it loses so much for being cropped.
Mm. Yeah, that's why, like, you know, starting off as a thumbnail, like just a tiny sketch is like the best way to like, you know, create big illustrations like that.
Yeah, because you do a lot of that, don't you? Like just pages of blah, here's an idea, blah, here's an idea.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
You know, as you're doodling and stuff, when you're an artist and just sketching, like you often get into the habit of just, you know, I'll draw something and then it'll be really detailed. And then it's like, oh, okay, I've got to take that to final. But really what you should do is, you know, start off small and just like do the same idea like 10, 20 times. See how it goes, get the best composition and work from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's what all these artists do professionally and that's what we do too because we're bros with lots of art.
All right. Harsh Sustenance, Maddie. It looks like you've got the final say.
I like these
cards.
Well, for me, it's a bit meh. Like, I like it. I like it, you know, but it's...
That's an official art term.
I would prefer the...
Bit meh.
Yeah.
The, what was this one called?
The Snake Man.
The Snake Man one.
Oh, really?
Soul Tie Skull Keeper. I would prefer that one over this one.
All right, that's interesting.
So. I like the monsters too. So.
I'd totally take Harsh Sustenance over Soul Tie Skull Keeper.
I like both of them.
Yeah, well, as I say, I like both of them, but this one's a bit...
I think the Snake Man has the scary, cool contrast. Dumb, and then the summoning the life-sapping one, that's a cooler, like, story and...
Yeah. I know, it's a very flavorful card. All right, we'll push on. See if there's
push
a
on. We still got lots to get through.
Don't know what's to come.
Gore Swine. It's a big fucking pig by Jack Wang. So if you thought I made up all those Wang Yang Yang Wang in the intros, no.
That
Jack
sounds
Wang.
Like a really good like horror movie. Gore Swine.
It is a bit. It's
coming
like Razorback.
Summer. Rawr. Yep.
It's like Razorback yep. from the
it's just a big fucking pig.
80s.
It's a big fucking pig, yeah.
Look, but which is a lot. You won't want to fight a pig. Is yeah, he has he got cool. possessed eyes?
If I wanted,
yeah, he's got like big red
if
eyes.
I wanted the illustration of a Gorswang, Gorswine, is it? Yeah. Swang? No.
Swine.
That artwork is what I would imagine. So
you would do that. So he's hit it on the nail
dark,
on the head.
It's
pig,
a nice, ominous looking pig.
It is.
Which I guess is what they've asked for, isn't it? Really?
Well, it is, yeah.
It's not going to be anything of a massive creature in the game. They just want like a big, heavy pig that's going to cause a bit of trouble, but tastes good later when you've slayed him.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Oh, he has the red glowing eyes. Would you eat a pig with red glowing eyes?
Oh, depends. Yeah. Depends how hungry I am.
Really. Yeah. You would.
Yeah. I'm just like, nah. I just eat food. I'm like, yes.
If after you've microwaved the bacon and you're about to put it in your sandwich and it's still glowing red, I would probably give
it
to the chickens.
Just to see what.
If you can hear some voices like you know the ring and Lord of the Rings, like Gorswine, you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't
eat
this
so fast.
Maybe I shouldn't put this in my body.
This maybe
good.
Explains why Maddie's got glowing red eyes. She's done this. She's been there before. Yeah.
That's why she looks like a demon right now.
I would just be so excited because of my powers.
How do we feel about Gorswine?
I like it, but I don't think it's you know
worthy of the top.
I'd never hang it on my wall.
It's a bit just what you know.
I know.
Is it going to be wallpaper on your computer ever?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah. I think that's another.
It's a good, but it's just a pig. To be honest, end of the day, it's just a scary pig. So
I want bacon.
All right. Just makes me want more bacon.
Here's a man who regularly uses a limited palette, but he seems to have gone into use green this time. It's Frontier Mastodon. It's a big elephant. Nils Ham. Yeah. You familiar? Yeah. Have you guys followed him outside of Magic?
No, I haven't.
He has had a ton of cards which are dark, shadowy pencil colours with light blue and light red over the top. Yeah. And he's managed to do a ton of compositions just using a palette similar to that.
It's good, yeah. I like it. It's very textured.
Yeah, somehow it manages to pull off. I'm amazed at how he's managed to do quite a few cards, which I've been impressed with.
Yep.
After seeing... Initially, when I saw him, I was like, oh, that's a bit, you know, lacking in some way.
Yep.
But then knowing what he's working with or how he limits himself...
Yeah, yeah.
I've been really impressed with what he's done. That being said, it's a picture of an elephant.
It is, but it's a very big elephant. And
yeah.
Has he used anything to scale it, or is it just all on its own?
It's just on its own. I mean, I don't know if these are supposed to be, like, hills or...
Should we be reading out the numbers for these, by the way?
No, they'll know the names.
They'll know
the names.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just him, cool. As far as I can tell.
Yeah, I like it, though, because it's like, you know, you hear, like, you shouldn't use black. Which is a good tip. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, like, you know, you can, like, on focal points and for contrast.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, digital artists starting out, they'll, you know, you just use black for all the shadows. But if you actually have a lot of detail in the shadow too, and, like, different colors and the little tweaks,
yeah,
it can really add to, like, making it look more realistic.
Does that just mean do you have to have, I was going to say, do you have to have high highs?
Yeah,
you,
like, just
well,
combining it with, like, you know, browns and dark purples and browns and blues and
yeah,
different shades instead of just... Yeah, you know, stick black. But
it does look like he's got tentacle trunks until you realise that they're
cool.
Some sort of decoration.
What would you call your pet if you had a pet woolly mammoth like that guy? Trumpy.
Trumpy, jumpy.
My first instinct was to call it Manny. You know,
Manny.
Ice Age.
Manny.
You know, Ice Age. Like, when you say mammoth, like instantly.
So I thought Black
Ice
Books.
Age,
yeah, I was thinking of Black Books too. I was like, Manny. What? Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd
agree.
Yeah, but no, I'm the same. I like all the texture in it.
Yeah.
I like the texture a lot.
All right. Is he a keeper or a non-keeper? Compared to what we're going, where we're feeling? You like it? Not like it?
I don't know.
I'm so glad.
I don't know
it.
If he's top level.
No, I don't. I like the style.
It's kind of like Mr. Piggy. You know, it's like, I'm just a monster. Look at me. Yeah. But, although that's fun.
So he's going to go hang out with Gorswine then, yeah?
It's not what we want for the illustrations.
I am super happy this next card came up.
Oh, here we go.
I'm undecided about it overall.
He's a happy chappy.
Well, I'm just glad it's come up because I'd like to hear what you guys think about it.
Okay.
It's called hit us with it. Alicia's Vanguard, and it's by shit. It's by Torstein Nordstrand.
Let's hope he's not listening.
Yeah. I've been looking at this card. This card isn't the art on this card is unlike just most other cards. As soon as I saw this card, I thought this is completely different.
That's interesting.
I think I like 75% of this card immensely.
Right.
And a tiny bit not so immensely.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Should I tell you straight up? So, am I going to sway you? Are you going to stay strong to your own?
I'm very strong-willed. Right. No,
I love all of the left, this Vanguard creatures popping up out of this mess of bits and pieces and darkness. And I love how he's... you can tell what's going... you can tell what he is, but you can't necessarily pick out too many details.
Yep.
But then I don't like the guy in the foreground. I think he's totally unnecessary. You could do without the stupid, scared face running away.
I like it, but I was having a hard trouble seeing the creature's face. I didn't really work out what it was.
Now, that usually bugs me,
but
I kind of like
it. Looking at it wrong.
No. I think you're right. Yeah. You can't really pick it up.
It's a bit hard to read, like where he's just this big, scary shape. Like there's so much detail in it, though, but.
Yeah, it just looks like a vanguard. That's like the point of an attack of something. Yeah. So it looks like there's a soldier guy there, and at the point of this attack, which is just like a blur of flies and nonsense, there's this creature just like leaping out and looking proper scary.
It's cool though,
and I love that on the left hand side of that picture. I love it. I think it's brilliant, and I like the messiness of it. And that's not usually something that I'd go for. But I just think that
he's riding a monster, right? Yeah.
The guy running away is just a little bit childish.
He's not having a good day. He's like, oh!
Yeah, he's not having a good day.
He's like, get away from me!
Okay, I do like, we've just had Dragons of Tarkir break out, and I do like seeing things like Jason Chan did one a while ago. A crop of guys just getting completely wasted by dragon's fire or something.
Oh my gosh.
And you can just see the shadows of them running away and there's all flames going through them. Yeah. Like that kind of thing is kind of fun.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
But he just looks like he's, I don't know. Anyway, I probably said enough on the scared guy.
Should we put it in the middle or on the side?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm a bit...
What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I like all the detail in, like you said, in the guy on the left.
Yeah,
And I like how there's like the dirt and stuff everywhere because it's like he's just tearing the place up.
Yeah. The color, the red, white, and blue on his face—that's interesting.
Very cool.
It's an interesting choice considering all the color palette of the whole picture.
Mm. Yeah. It doesn't grab me as much as some of the other ones have done.
Mm.
So
it's cool. It's up to you two.
In the middle.
I'd put it in the other pile, the little maybe pile,
the mastodon pile.
Maybe.
He's going to hang out with the mastodon.
Yep.
All right, talking of not being able to see the face, this guy, I couldn't figure out where this guy's face was. He's a defiant ogre. I had to look really hard just to try and figure out where this defiant ogre was and what he was sort of doing.
Big head, tiny face.
The opposite. massive body, massive neck and a face. But I think this is a classic for you'd be able to talk about.
Oh, yeah, this guy has a tiny head.
Yeah. You'd be able to talk about movement in this one, I think. It tells you where to look.
He's cute, though. I like him. he's peering out behind the building. He's like, oh, but then he's got a huge weapon. He's like,
oh, I don't think I said who drew that
one. So it's like, this is Craig J. Spearing.
Craig J. Spearing.
Yep.
Sounds like he'd be a writer on Beverly Hills 90210.
I think it's J. It looks like a J. It might be a T.
Let's make it a J.
I told you that these letter things weren't my strongest point.
We can't read.
Yeah, I can't really read, so that's why I draw so much. But no, I like the card. It's like, because you got another story happening out there. You got the little dragons.
The dragons in the distance.
And the use of color really,
it's a picture within a picture,
right,
isn't it?
The right corner is all the blue, or what's happening outside, and then the rest of it is all, yellow to contrast to make it pop.
And it's a picture of an axe, and then you go from the axe to who's holding the axe, and then you see who it is, and it's this ogre guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And where's he looking? And he's looking to the distance. See, your eye just flows through the picture.
Okay.
And I love, kind of analyzing the lines that go around the picture, because the axe line, the handle will point towards the guy you're looking at, and
yeah.
then the corner of the window that like interests you in the background.
Yeah, and he's looking at it. The dynamic of the composition of the picture saying, look over here at these dragons.
Yeah, because if they weren't there, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, and these are like things that, you know, as you're starting out, you'll, you know, have to really study and do a lot of like work into, but then as you go over time, it'll just come to you like
quicker
and you do it a bit subconsciously too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great picture. I like it.
I heard you say you had your "oh right" moment with that picture.
Yeah,
because
I was staring at his face.
Yeah,
and I couldn't understand.
He's got like a hood on, and he's like looking to the side.
I think it's hair though.
Yeah, I don't think you can see his actual face.
Is it hood? I don't know what it is, but he's got like braids or something as well.
Yeah,
so I was trying to figure out, but then when I realized he's looking,
it'd be interesting to see it in full size see if you can make out his face or not.
Check that out on the web.
Yeah. All right. Our ogre friend.
Next one.
Maddie. Oh,
yep.
Where's he going?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the middle.
In the middle?
Oh, Craig J. Spearing.
Oh, in the middle or in the middle?
I'd put it in the middle.
Look at that.
I think that's one of the strongest compositions.
Okay.
William Murray has a very...
we'll leave it till the end.
...dynamic looking picture here. It's a guy kicking another guy in half. Seriously.
Yes. Back to the gore.
Finish him.
Wandering champion. Tell us what we've got there, Austin.
That poor skeleton man. That poor little man. He was having a lovely picnic with his friends, and then this evil woman came and kicked him.
Is it a woman?
No, probably. Oh, actually, yeah, it is.
It is?
But she's twisting quite a lot. She's doing the twist. Twist and shout. No. But yeah, it's a cool picture. I love the effect of the spinal tap. That could be the other name for this.
Spinal tap.
But it's got great, you know, flow, and the contrast around the foot is the highest point of the image.
I think Aaron talked about this one. He'd played with it and seen it loads.
Then
we were looking at it in a Buster Booster, and he goes, "Oh, he's kicking a guy in half." he hadn't picked up on that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a car that can tell your story.
Maybe it is a guy. I can't tell from here.
It's a character. It's a wandering champion, is what it is.
It's a human monk.
Creature.
But it's a cool picture. I like it. I like how
the
ghoul guy. Well, I was right there.
See, girls, not girls.
The ghoul is like really dark, so that the like foot area is like so powerfully impactful. You're like, bam, that's where it is.
Yeah,
that's where
it is. That's good. So it's why it's like the dark character's getting kicked in half is a frame for.
It contrasts with the actual focal point, which is good.
Yeah,
I like that one a lot, actually.
But going back to my picnic story, I always sympathise with the bad guys for some reason. That's probably why I like drone.
What was it, bad guys
monsters.
Picnicking? Or?
Yeah, like having a picnic.
Just having a drink.
You've heard of a teddy bear picnic. This is a skeleton picnic. Yeah.
No, yeah, I like this one a lot.
All right.
Like I said, the composition works really well.
William Murray, boom, straight to the...
Yeah,
is
straight
he,
in the middle.
Straight in the middle.
Like
all right, I think that was our first uncommon everyone as well.
Oh, nice.
What we've got now is Ryan Yee with Fruit of the First Tree.
Oh.
Which...
it's got a nice alliteration there in the title.
Looks like a Christmas tree.
Oh, that's a lovely one. That is... Is that going to be an art critic term?
That's a lovely one.
I sound like I'm commentating tennis or something. Oh, that's a lovely shot there. And that's a bad miss there. Oh no, that's a
that's
a quote from
that we
show.
Had with Ancestral Vengeance. That
but yeah,
was the terrible
the first tree. It's a nice painterly illustration. It's got a lovely angel lady.
Who's it by?
Holding
again?
Up, Ryan Yee.
Ryan Yee. Okay. I'd love to know what the connection is.
Very.
I suppose it's
picture.
A glowing fruit on a tree, I guess. But it looks like a Christmas tree with Christmas decorations on it.
I don't know where you... There's not even a tree in this
picture.
Isn't there?
No, it's just like the trail of...
I've been lied to by the
title. A lady in
the
clouds.
Yeah, and she's... I think it's fire, looks like, in her hand. Or like,
but that doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Maybe it's the fruit that she's holding up.
There's no tree. It's just cloud. Yeah. Because it goes in a zigzag shape.
Yeah, in a Christmas tree shape.
Yeah.
There's like Santa in the background.
Fruit of the First Tree, and he's drawn a picture of a floaty angel girl.
But I guess she's like
throwing
a
torch.
She's holding up the fruit, like maybe the thing at the top. It's like a holy fruit that she's like. Well, what does the description on the card say? Maybe the word.
Oh, there is flavor text on this one. It says, "I will be the ancestor my descendants call upon for aid. Ooh. On that day, I will take up my sword for my family once more." What a load of shit! None of this makes sense.
Hey, I was just
Brian Yee's having a laugh. He's going, what did you want? Oh, fuck it. I've got this picture out the back. Do you just want to use that?
You would just get me in the...
I've got this one I made earlier.
I was just getting relaxed there. You were like, you had a nice, soothing, poetic voice. And then you're like, that shit. Yeah. Well,
yeah. I like it. I like the style of it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Center of the table.
Well, that's now in the middle.
They're all around.
I know a frontier mastodon and a gorse swine, which are very much on the outer right now.
Sorry, buddies. Sorry, creatures.
All right. Ooh, Peter Moorbacker. Eugen's Construct, is a big character in this set.
Yeah, that's one of the ones Peter did for the new set. Yeah. He's got that Kickstarter on at the moment, Angelarium, which is pretty cool.
We'll get to that in the next
segment. In the next section, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's an awesome illustration. It's got like a huge dragony artifact creature standing.
It's not where you'd build a statue or anything, is it? It seems a bit precarious. But that's
I thought it was an alive being that's been made.
It might be. Like. I really don't know.
When Ugin's Construct enters the battlefield, sacrifice a permanent that's one or more colors.
Oh, so you just kill things
cool.
In honor of it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's like a martyr.
Yeah. You like that?
I do. I like that one a lot, actually.
Oh, boy. We're going to end up with a lot of cards in the middle.
We're going to end up with too many.
You've got to become into this thing grumpy like me, and then you just throw away all the cards.
Just hate everything.
I've seen what we've got left, and I know what my winner is overall.
Oh. Okay.
It's not necessarily my hand.
Okay.
All right. Well, Ugin's Construct goes in the middle.
Okay. Our last card, before the land card, is Shu Yun, the Silent Tempest. Oh, and this hooks into the monk theme that we've got in this in these sets. It's by David Gaylet or Gaylay.
Sorry about the pronunciation, David.
We do know the next guy for the land. Okay. Yeah, I do.
Who's that actor in Bulletproof Monk? Chow Yun-fat?
I don't know.
A bit like Chow Yun-fat.
He's a bald Asian monk. They kind of look the same, don't they?
No, but
not the Asian bit, bald and monk guy.
But no, I just saw a likeness there. But anyway, it's a really cool character illustration. He's got a cool expression on his face where he's kind of like,
he's got that monk, I'm calm, but I can kick the shit out of you if I feel like it.
It looks like he just heard a noise and he's left his training from the rest of the pack and the rest of his group, and he's like, what's over here? What's in the bushes?
Yeah.
And then there might be something bad.
But he's inside a building.
He's ready for it. Yeah.
If they've got bushes inside the building, those monks haven't been sweeping up.
They've also got a waterfall in the back there. That could be inside.
So. Yeah.
I like it. It's like a looks like it could be a scene from a movie or something.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I get the name wrong? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it looks a little bit like that guy, I reckon. But
I like this thing in the background that's got all this holding all the scrolls.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yep. And they've got the different layers through the picture. You've got very far back, and then you've got the character, which is in full contrast, and then to the side is a little bit faded. So
I think this is another thing where reference can come in.
Yep.
Like things that people are holding.
Yeah.
And
like something I, if I'm doodling, I'll never look up anything that people would hold or wear.
Yeah.
And it's like interesting clothes and a character wearing interesting clothes and holding something interesting or standing next to something interesting and having, can make a picture,
It's, and having the costume like fold in the right place and all the cloth and stuff, and it's...
I love what he's wearing. I think it's gorgeous. All the details.
What podcast are we doing now?
Gorgeous.
Love what he's wearing. It's gorgeous.
Shut up. Oh.
Shut up. Such a bitch.
No, I just like all the detail.
What line of monkwear is that from, Maddie?
Tajay?
Yeah.
Monk edition?
Fabulous. All right.
Mm.
Are we keeping?
I like that one a lot, actually.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. We're just so badly indecisive.
You're
going to
have to come up with it. You've got one card. Then you're making a decision.
Are we picking one each?
Yeah. No, you're just picking one full stop.
One full stop.
Yeah, you've got to come to an agreement. Finally. But finally, Blossoming Sands by Noah Bradley's mate, Sam Burley.
Oh.
Okay. They went to school together. And it's a land. It's a...
Oh, yep.
That's, I always like lands. It's pretty nice. I think lands are usually pretty.
I don't know. Like, for me, backgrounds are another one of my weak points. I love characters and monsters.
You've got to go outside, man.
So,
you've got to go outside.
But landscapes don't do it for me just yet. But they will.
You've got to marry it together.
I'm mad about landscapes.
Yeah. Good landscapes.
I enjoy them and I like them. I can't really draw them very well yet. Mm. But.
Probably flashing forward a bit. They were doing like that 21-day study thing.
I wanted to start that.
Yeah, that's a thing Noah Bradley started on Twitter and online. He did a blog post about, you know, how do I study? And, you know, it's really hard to study, and you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to just do everything. You have to just trick yourself into doing it.
I read what he...
And,
what do you mean by trick yourself into doing it?
Make it become a habit.
His thing was like, he's going to make everyone have a habit. And the thing is that after 21 days or so, apparently if you start doing something repeatedly, it forms a habit.
Yeah.
And so his plan was to just, you know, do a master study every day, which is like taking a really old traditional painter like Sargent or something really good and just copying it and studying it. And if you do that every day for like 21 days... you'll be a better artist.
The same picture.
No, different pictures.
Just studying and stuff.
Oh, right. So I thought he just chose landscapes and he was just doing landscapes 21 days for what I saw.
Yeah,
he
can, but people as well.
Yeah, there was one guy.
It's a great you know, philosophy to get your head around. So
I read that and I was like, oh, I'm going to study something.
I know.
You tricked yourself out of doing it.
I do want to do it at some point, but I just want to do it when I have 21 days to do it.
But that's what he said.
You've always got 21 days.
Yeah, exactly.
He said you'll start it and you'll fail.
Yeah.
Like, you'll do it maybe 2 days in a row, and then you'll do it maybe a week in a row, and you'll miss it.
But that's okay, because it's part of the process.
Yeah. Eventually you'll be able to do it where it's a solid 21 days, and that's when...
Oh, good stuff. Mm. All right, guys. It's decision time.
Let's make a decision.
We're not going to be sitting around here for long. Okay. You've got to do it. I know which mine is, even though I'm not playing.
Are you going to say which one yours is?
No, mine's the darkened one.
The darkened one?
Yeah.
Which one was that again?
That one was called... Where has he gone? Reach of Shadows.
Oh, right. Okay.
The guy getting his head taken off by a cloud of black. That's where I'm at.
I might have to go with this one.
Oh, all right. Who's your winner?
The Defiant Ogre. I reckon that one's a pretty cool one.
Yeah.
I really like this one.
But
the Silent Tempest one.
The Bulletproof Monk.
Wow, she's gone for the rare, everyone.
Oh, but what about the Snake Man?
Oh, yes, Snake Man.
What about the Snake Man?
Got to make it a choice.
Sultai
Skull
Keeper.
You got to make it a choice. I went Italian.
Oh, and I did like...
Well, you said you liked this one before, didn't you?
I did. And I did like Swanland's Manifest one.
Yeah.
What about you, readers? Tell us right now.
Readers.
You're getting your formats all screwy.
You can tell I've done this many times before.
Yeah. All right,
listeners.
So Austin and I are pretty much like bang, bang. We've made our decisions. Madison, you're not following a stereotype after you said there was no difference for girls.
I do like Bulletproof Monk too, but...
Yeah, I would say that's my favourite, to be honest.
All right, there you go. Locked in. So we've got... what was the name of your card? Oh. It's too long to remember.
I'll take the lower
it's
ground
too
on
hard
this one.
We'll choose
one each. Screw it.
See, I like that one as well.
Okay, we're choosing one each.
Can I just pick like all of them?
I just want them all.
Oh, god damn it.
Well, this is good, right? I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite because they're all so good, right?
This is the point. So all right, what one did you say you picked? The ogre?
The ogre, yeah.
Yep, I'm picking ogre. I'm going to have to lock it in, Eddie. I'm going to go with Defiant Ogre creature. He's
all right.
Looking out the window. And, you know, runner-ups would have to be the Snake Man Skull Keeper and the Harsh... what was that one?
The Harsh Sustenance.
Harsh Sustenance by the Cynthia Shepherd.
All right, so we don't have a clear winner.
Those are my top three. What about you?
My top three would be the top favourite one would be the Silent Tempest one. What?
Yeah, you get one.
No, but he picked three.
No, he picked Defiant Ogre.
I picked that one.
And I picked the Tempest one.
Yeah, and I picked Reach of Shadows. That's it.
Okay.
That's how the segment ends.
Fine.
Well,
don't care.
You know, there's...
Oh, yes, you do.
You can have multiple winners. We're all winners.
Yeah. All right.
They all get gold stars.
Well, it doesn't look like we're going to be taking any of these cards home. It looks like Maddie's snatched them all. All right. No.
Fight me.
All right. We'll be back after this.
Woo!
All right, we're back. We've all tied our hair back, so we're serious.
Right, we?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
So, this next section, Maddie and Austin are going to drive us through the Khans of Tarkir block and just pick out their top five cards that they've noticed.
Is this strictly Khans of Tarkir, or should we go Fate Reforged as well?
It's the block.
The block.
Well, we haven't done Dragons of Tarkir, which is the latest set that's come out. Yep. But usually, you know, they're in blocks of three sets.
Cool.
To a block. So we're doing Fate Reforged and Khans of Tarkir.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Who wants to kick off,
Maddie?
Sure.
Who are you starting with?
I'm going to start with Jack Wang.
Jack Wang.
His River Wheel Aerialists. one.
Oh, yeah.
Riverwheel Aerialists.
Oh, no, it's right here. I found it. Okay. I really like this card. I think it's because it ties in with the monks, the whole monk thing.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of that.
I really like it.
Yeah.
But it's a creature, the Dijin monk.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to... Yeah, like, pass us over something where it's on. Riverwheel Aerialists.
I don't know. I just really liked... I like the composition in it because there's the three of them and they're kind of like dancing in the air with their ribbons. And I like the temple a lot in the background. And I just like the detail in it. I mean, it's hard to see because the picture here is so small.
Don't worry. The people listening at home, I'm looking at the same picture as you.
That's quite a common problem with the magic cards, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite a small picture.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was just something about it and I liked it a lot. I like the color, like a lot of the blues and the greens. And... with the waterfall in the background and the temple and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, now I found it.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a crap load of movement in that one, isn't there?
I like
it's really good. That guy, I think it's the guy to the middle guy on the right. He seems to crop up in a lot of different cards. And I kind of really warmed to him, actually, as a character that was just that Dijin monk kind of style.
Yeah, with the horns.
Yeah, with the horns. The guy in the front is skinnier. I would say a woman Dijin monk. I don't know. Yep. Throwing it out there, waiting for Maddie to give me the smackdown, but...
No, it's too small, I can't see.
All right. It's unclear. But yeah, that's really cool, isn't it?
I just think it's a really nice-looking card, to be honest.
It would be an amazing land card just on its own with the guys not in the picture at all.
Yeah.
So, Jack Wang.
Mm.
Should I have a look now?
Oh, yeah.
Let's have a look. You got anything to add to that one?
Is that this one here?
Yeah, that one there.
It's interesting. I like it. It's got lots of different figures, like a really interesting background too. But you can still see the figures in the foreground because of the darker, obviously, and pop out of the picture.
And they're kind of all working together as well. Like the characters, they're not. It's not just a picture of two different dudes or three different dudes doing their own thing.
Do you want to read out the story bit to put on there?
No,
story bit.
Put us into a mystical world there.
Okay. Adepts of the Riverwheel Stronghold can run through rain and never get wet. Masters use the raindrops as stepping stones.
Ooh, wow, that's monkish.
That sounds like something you'd say in a trailer for a movie, like
stepping stones. They use raindrops as stepping stones.
That's very cool. That's cool. Yeah, I like that card a lot.
Brilliant. Awesome. All right, now we know what to get you for Christmas.
Yeah.
Austin, over to you.
All right, so you've had some nice, watery people dancing around.
Monks.
Now get ready for a dragon, demon, vampire lord in a bridge. This is Archfiend of Depravity.
Yeah.
In the Fate Reforged set.
Yeah.
By Darkin.
Darkin. There he goes.
It's amazing. Here's the speech that goes with it. Why would I kill you all? Who then would be left to worship me?
Well, he's got his priorities set, doesn't he? Yeah,
but he's definitely
killing many people.
As you were saying, Maddie, it really does. You can really appreciate the art more when you see it full screen.
For sure.
Like that's why I love following all the artists from Magic and stuff like that because you can see all their artwork as they are allowed to release it. And this one looks amazing. Like you can even tell like how it is at the bottom with a little bit of the. Little bit of the wing.
The wing. He looks like he hasn't really looked after his wings. He hasn't been eating vitamin wing enough.
That's the sign that he's a bad guy because he's got tatters in his wings and his clothes.
I like him on the principle that I've been having a moan this set that a lot of the dragons have been drawn with feathers.
Oh, really?
And I'm not having that. I like my dragons to have like bat-like wings.
Yep.
And this guy's a demon, but he doesn't have feathers for wings. He's doing it hard. He's doing it with not only... bat-like wings, but red wings as well.
And I like the choices, man, because, he's obviously got huge wings, but, typically you see that in the sky or something like that, but, showing him, in a cave hiding with all these, bodies and stuff, it really makes you feel a bit, uncomfortable, what's going on?
And there's a green mist rising up from the ground.
Mm.
Is he supporting himself on the fingers of his wings
as well?
It looks
like he's... That's using them as wings and also as big spider legs to crawl around
in. I hadn't noticed that before.
And he's over a pile of bodies and stuff, and there's roots and trees and stuff. And
it's a pretty dingy.
It's a really shadowy, kind of complicated piece, and that's why I'm liking it.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Maddie, Pick number two.
What's up next?
What's up?
Maddie's
I've just
list.
Actually seen another one because I've got a whole list here of the ones I
like.
Oh,
here she goes again. But can I pick all of the cards?
I've just seen another one.
We could just sit here and go through every single card.
Well, I could.
This set's only 260 cards long.
Fate Reforged set.
Yep. Yeah.
Orc Sure Shot by Kev Walker.
No, you didn't!
I think it's really cool.
Oh,
like,
you...
I really like...
What have you got against our friend Kev?
Huh? No, yeah. I hate Kev. And
what's wrong with Kev?
All right, now go on. Say your piece.
Well, I just think I really like the composition. Like, it's like the orc is aiming it at him.
Oh, actually, yeah. I love that thing. It reminds me of Lord of the Rings when Lurtz kills Boromir.
That's super cool.
And at the end of the first film, oh.
And it's just the way his hands are kind
of
outstretched.
Yep.
As if to say, like, that's just kind of, you know, in protest. I think that's... And I just saw that then, and I think that's awesome. Yeah,
and you know that the poundage really on that bow is just going to go straight through his hand regardless. Yeah. Look, to be honest, I like that one of Kev's, but I like the story of it and the composition of it, and it's that real first-person viewpoint that I like.
Yeah.
But he still just... I don't know. For me, it's a bit washed out, and he does a lot of that as well. You know, the colours are washed out. But I appreciate that's a style in itself, and it's not quite as silly as a lot of his other ones. So it's pretty good for Kev.
I think having it kind of muted down is like makes it more of a mature kind of piece. Yeah. Like if it had colours everywhere,
because
it is, it's not like a happy scene, is it?
No.
Very somber.
And having it like quite a little bit monochromatic, and having it like, you know, with the hand and. You know, just
yeah,
more
you're right.
A,
it is kind of more mature and
it
colours its
and I like
used.
The, more dark. I like the quote down the bottom. Words have yet to halt an arrow. He's clearly like pleading for his life and it's just not going to work.
Man, yeah. That's a good one.
Super cool.
Yeah.
It's a good piece. Mm. Yeah.
All right, so that's your official number two card pick.
Alrighty.
All right, Kev Walker.
Yep.
You made it in there. My God, I didn't see that coming.
You go, man.
All right, Austin, where are we? Still in Fate Reforged?
Yeah, I think I'm on the Khans now. Just... Popping over for a bit.
Number two.
I was going to bring us to Singing Bellstrike.
Singing Bellstrike.
From Chase Stone, who has a lot of awesome, like, really kind of photorealistic kind of paintings that, you know, are in such fantastical environments. I think it's number 55.
What colour card is that? Singing Bellstrike. It's a blue or a white card, isn't it?
I think it's a blue one, I think.
Yeah.
Singing Bellstrike, that one there. It's the one of the woman character who's... being acrobatic against this big ogre kind of guy.
I'm sure
like
I played this
flipping
card
over
and
his head.
Really good. I'm just trying
and it's
to
such
find
a
it.
Dynamic kind of composition, and it's like such a, you know, the focal point is all on a lady, and just like when you can see it online, you see the her hand pressed into his neck.
Yeah.
It's so realistic, and it's like, you know, he's such a ridiculous kind of character. He's like a huge blue monster. But to have it like so...
Yeah, he's a massive thug.
So toned
looks
down.
Looks like she's swung over the top of his head.
Sorry.
And
I called him a blue monster, but yeah. that's my knowledge.
He's
but,
a blue thug. I don't know.
No, I love that piece. And I follow him on DeviantArt, and I saw he had put up a bunch of magic ones, and that one really like stood out to me. I was like, wow, that's
super cool.
Such a... Because it's like right before the moment of like impact, like...
Yeah.
And that's
again,
a,
it's that thing we were talking about earlier on. It's asking you to work the story out,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just... Like, that same character could just be done walking down a corridor.
Yeah.
But
if you have it so that, you know, it's right before something happens or you know, or right after, it makes the viewer, you know, really think about what's just happened or in the scene, and it gets them involved.
Yeah,
so.
In the flavor of the card, what the card's doing is just putting this guy out of action for a while, unless the player invests a lot of mana into it. So you're tapping this creature permanently unless you're the owner of the creature wants to untap it again for six is a lot.
Yeah.
So, that diminutive little character there is just taking this guy down until he can get, you know, the first aid guy's going to come over and patch him up.
Yeah, it's great to see, like, the interpretation from the artist and the art director of what sort of that could represent. And, you know, you wouldn't really think that would be a good representative, but it actually looks so cool and, you know, it's such a good way of doing it,
All right. And it's a singing bell strike, though.
Yes.
I don't know if that infers that this character... sing something with
maybe she's got a little bell in her pouch that starts singing. She's like, shh, 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 I gotta hit him now.
Yeah,
gotta strike. Yeah.
All right, Maddie, number three.
Number three. Carry on with Chase Stone.
Yep.
Ooh.
And for
Fate Reforged.
Pressure Point.
This is fantastic. I love this card from the first time I saw it.
I think it's. I just think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I really do. I love like the composition of it.
Yep.
And I love that it's so like focused in on just like the dragon's face.
Yeah, and the first thing you ask,
it's a dragon, yeah.
Yeah, like and the first thing you ask is why is everything upside down? It's because they're flying as he's doing it.
Falling, falling. I just think it's super cool.
Yeah,
and I love the colors in it as well.
And there's mountains in the background that are small.
If it's, I can't tell whether it's a man or a woman. The person. this
is our biggest concern, isn't it? Today, it's like, is it a man? Is it a woman?
He's like,
almost like a little kid.
I reckon it's a monk.
He's got his hand pressed against his head.
Yeah.
And
he's
like doing something.
And magic's coming out.
Yeah.
It's a great example of like, you know, light on dark and then dark on light. Because you got like his left hand is like, you know, putting a light on the dark dragon's head background. But then his other hand has got like a hook, which is the dark on the white background.
Mm.
So it's like different, you know, contrast, like, you know, techniques to make it really pop.
The little description. By studying dragon anatomy, Jeskai monks have learned how to locate clusters of nerves that will incapacitate even the mightiest dragons. So that's why it's falling then, obviously.
Mm, I love it. Yeah.
He's
found the pressure point.
Again, you're tapping a target creature here. Yeah. So you're taking somebody out of action. Not in a deadly way, just like incapacitating them for a turn.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's great. It's like as the monk has found the pressure point on the dragon's face, we've found the pressure point on the illustration because it's like such a zoomed in cropped piece.
And the dragon looks to seem to be either the smoke coming out of his mouth as well, isn't it?
Yeah, like he was midway.
Yeah, just
doing
burned
something
down a village.
And then it just,
Yeah, that's very cool.
He's puffed out there.
That popped out of me from early on in the set because it was, I think, you know, it's the way it's framed and what you're looking at is different to any other card I've seen before.
Mm.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
All right, Austin, back to you. What's your number three?
All righty. I'm going to go with Woolly Loxodon
from
Carla
from
Ortiz.
Carla Ortiz.
Number 158. And it's a really cool, like,
elephant warrior
creature illustration. It's a big woolly mammoth man. And, I love, you know, following Carla Ortiz's work as well. She was just recently featured on a new blog called Women in Fantasy Illustration. And it's a really great way to, like, you know, find out a whole bunch of awesome artists.
Maddie would have been that, but she's still a chick.
Yeah.
So I missed out by a smidge.
You know,
maybe next year.
I'm sure if you submit, they'd showcase your work. You know.
Yes.
I'd submit too, but obviously I am not a woman. So probably not going to do that.
We'll put that in the show notes.
But yeah. No, it's a great card. And I love it. It's got all the character and the contrast and the shadow. And
you don't shy away from that anthropomorphic kind of making him part animal, part guy kind of thing.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah? That's good. I guess I just think that's... I always feel like it's cheesy or it's a shortcut or something like that.
I guess it depends how people do it, you know? It is done a lot, but if you can make it your own, like this picture has,
What gives a sense of size here? Because there's nothing to really hold scale of it.
I guess it's because, you know, we're looking at him from a low angle.
Yeah,
that's a nice trick to make a piece look really big.
Yeah.
Can I see?
Yeah, there.
Yeah, Woolly Loxodon by Carla Ortiz. Cool. And you got a few notes on what Carla's been up to or what she's...
Yeah, just it was about that fantasy illustration blog. It's like it's a great new kind of way to get a lot of females into the
show that other people are doing, other girls are doing it too. Yeah,
yeah, because it is obviously a more male dominated field, but it's great to see women are bringing up the crazy art side too.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool. So we've probably got a link for that we can put on the show notes
I'll put it in the
sevenlandhen.com.
Yep. No.
But we'll do that.
Check it out,
All right, that was... Okay, so number four, Maddie.
Number four.
how do you follow a big hairy elephant warrior?
We do something by Steve Argyle.
Ooh,
Whirlwind nice. Adept.
Whirlwind Adept, This is Gaussian Blur on standby. Card number 63, Austin, you're going in the wrong book.
Well, I've only got this one. I'm sorry.
Hang on. Well, up here. Number 63. I really like this one.
Yeah, he's one of your monk guys. Your Jin monks back.
You got
again.
A thing for monks, do you? Or?
Apparently so.
You do?
Apparently so.
This is the monk episode.
This is the monk I like.
Maddie likes to play hard to get, and that works both ways. She has a thing for monks.
I do.
She likes the intellectuals.
We've gone into a weird place.
Weird segue here.
We haven't had enough weird yet, so I'm trying to crank it up a bit.
Shut up, let me talk about my card.
All right, shut up.
Jeez.
Right. Yeah, I know. I like the colours in it, and I really like the composition, and the way he's twirling his monk stick.
Yep, that's what they're called.
Yeah, what they're called. Like the blur, and there's a lot of motion in it, and I like the angle as well, yep. And a lot of the colours and stuff.
He's the way he's. I will call it a skirt. He's flipping up.
Yeah, it's very good. Cool.
Yeah, it sort of adds to that movement that he's got, and everything's movement,
really,
isn't
awesome.
It? He's got ribbons off the horns. And again, it's like one of those things. I haven't looked at the background before, but the background's amazing.
Mm.
It's like a bonsai tree the size of a regular tree.
Yeah, no.
Floating rocks.
That's really great. Like, so many, like, just, I don't know, awesome. Because it's such a complicated piece, but it's got all the design kind of, like, tricks to keep it together.
Yeah.
Like how his head is, like, on a dark background so you can make a pop.
Mm.
Yeah.
And his chin, like, is on the white background too, but because you can see the rest of his head, you can still see it all
really
good. And it works as a small card as well.
Yeah, that's so right, isn't it? Because if that rock wasn't there behind his head, that glare would make his head disappear. So the glare would have to disappear.
It's all about, you know, really strong, like, silhouettes.
Yeah.
And they do it really well on the magic cards.
Yeah. And that tree, the angle of the tree is good as well, isn't it? Because it's that flow of the eye through the card as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, doing a depth. Steve Argyle, what do we know about that guy?
I was doing some reading on him, and moment all his websites are like under construction, so I have no idea what he's up to.
Yep.
But I just love his if anybody's had the chance to check out his YouTube page, he actually had a video of him doing this card.
Oh,
the
wicked.
Whirlwind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like not all, like most of it, but he just has.
I love watching those things.
I know.
Because when you especially when they break down something that you're so familiar with, and then you see it as a white or a blank canvas to start with. It's so cool.
And he's got a lot of really. I've learned quite a bit from him as well, just tips and tricks, you know, digitally and that.
Yeah.
And plus, he does it also very entertaining. I love the way he presents it all. He gets so excited about it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. It's probably got that, you know, that doubt you have when you start. You go, oh, this is going to be shit. And it starts going, this is all right. Oh, my God, look at this. This is awesome. I'm a real artist. And he probably gets that every time he does it.
Yeah.
But, he's been one of my favorites for a while now.
All right. Well, maybe that's our choice tip. We'll put if you can get the link for that and send that through. We'll stick that on our show notes as well. We should make a note of what show notes we're going to have.
Sure, yeah. Make a note about our notes.
Stevie Argyle, YouTube.
Yeah.
And who are you sent your Carla Orta's...
Women in Fantasy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fantasy illustration, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Women in Fantasy. I think the site's called fantasticalwomen.com.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you can probably spell that wrong. All right.
Yeah, did you want me to go on to my next one then?
Yeah.
What number are we up to? Were you three or four?
This is number four, yeah.
Well, I'll pick another one that's YouTube kind of related.
Mm-hmm.
This one's Windstorm by Jonas Deroux.
And
he's a great artist, and he's done a lot of like awesome content on his YouTube channel called Level Up.
Mm-hmm. Level Up's a very
it's a really great resource for any artist out there. So check it out. But I just love this illustration because it's like, you know, it's more of a silhouette kind of piece. You got like the focus on the big windstorm, and then you got some, you know, crazy gargoyle or like birdmen kind of creatures flying around. Like, what the heck's going on here? But it's really interesting.
It's the weight of it all, isn't it? Much crap going on there.
It's cool. Yeah. And it's more of a kind of mystery kind of piece where it's more of a landscape as well.
I like the two sides.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's your light and dark thing there. I'm learning from you, Austin, you see. You've got basically two silhouettes in the light part and then a really heavy looking storm.
Yep. All the fancy pantsy art terms. Yep.
And I mean, the flavor text refers to dragons, and you know, there could be demons or anything in the air there.
Shall I read it out
in my creepy man
voice?
When the last dragon fell, its spirit escaped as a roar into the wind.
Which is an old Timur tale. But yeah, it's the power of that wind there is just emphasized by the fact that it's taken down dragons and demons out of the air.
Yep.
And that's what the card's doing. It's just attacking
I love how at the bottom there's like
creatures
a whole,
flying.
Yeah, there's like a whole like kind of almost cityscape of wreckage of ruins.
Yeah, I got graveyard
through.
Looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I like it. It's a good one.
Yeah.
All right.
Good old Jonas Deroux.
Yeah. No,
or is it Rio?
Oh, I don't know. It probably is honest, but it's check out his YouTube channel. He's got Level Up. He does it with a whole bunch of other.
Are we show noting that one as well?
Yeah, that's another show note. Check out the links. It's you know, they usually do about 1 to 2 hour podcast online hangouts, and they usually have an artist on for each episode, so you get like, you know,
very cool
Noah Bradley episode and all that, like, you know, Peter Moorbach, all those cool guys.
Yeah.
and they go through a walkthrough and do a painting while you're watching, and they just hang out. And it's really like chilled and casual, but it's a good one to check out.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Maddie, your final card.
Yeah, sure. This is hard because I'm just staring at more. I've got them down. I'm like,
there's too many good ones.
Flick through now and pick one.
Yeah, just one. She's got a list of 260 cards now in front of her.
Thank you. I think I might go for John.
This is your.
I was gonna
ramp it up. Let's just say this is your number one choice. This is the greatest card of all time.
Because see, there's another Steve Argo one I like.
Which one's that?
The Monastery Swift Spear. I really like that one. Love the colours in that one.
Yeah, what did you find that John Avon's done then?
John Avon.
He's usually the Prince of Lambs.
This one he's done is the Monastery Flock.
The Monastery. You just can't get your head out of the monastery, can you?
I love where they've gone with this. I really do. Yeah.
You look for Maddie's image next week. It's going to be all different. She's going to just have a picture of her just, you know, sitting in these long robes, cross-legged, looking like she's drifted off.
Start painting monks.
She's got
and
monk on the brain.
Monastery Flock. I just really like the colours in this one, and I really like the feel of it.
Same colours as the other cards you've picked, really.
They're all just blue. I don't know. I just like the composition. Like with the...
a shitload of birds.
Yeah, and the temple... On the right-hand side, I just think it's kind of a nice balance with all the birds on the one hand, and because they're all dark in the contrast of the light sky.
Yeah.
Over the, I think it's, what, the lake, the river, whatever it is?
Yep.
Do you think he would have drawn four or five birds and then cut and pasted them a crap load of times and bent them a little bit with a bit of Photoshop magic?
Quite possibly. He would have done some sort of magic, because I can tell you there's no way in hell I would sit there and draw that every many single birds. One.
Because, overlapping them as well. He must have thought a million times as he's placed them into place, oh, that one's overlapping and making it look like it says something in the sky. Or, I've pasted those two together. Now they look like a big black thing, which could be misinterpreted as, .. When it's a flock. Hard to draw a flock.
It is. I don't know. That grabbed me when I was flicking through them, and I just really like that card.
Yeah.
I like the tone of it.
And the building's rather simple, isn't it? It's not really, hasn't put a lot of detail into it.
I think I like this type of architecture.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like all the monk stuff as well, because I've got a thing for like temples and
that
type of thing.
I think there's something to be gained from that, isn't it? When you get like architectural stuff, it's a lot of repetition and lots of straight, and not necessarily the building has to be the same, but it's like a street view of buildings, just the repetition of that's the start of a building, that's the end of it, and so forth, as he goes into the distance.
And you can tell appeals. You can tell a lot about the narrative with architecture.
Yep.
With the setting and the age and,
like if it's a slum markets or something like that.
So much.
And the flavor text is really good about the arrow strikes. One bird down, but the flock remains.
Yeah, I like that.
So it is a defender card. So, the flock's going to come around and be a nuisance, but not really cause you any damage. Cool. Awesome. All right, that's John Avon. Did you have something on... No, you did Steve Argyle. Do you want to do your thing on John Avon? Tell us that now.
He is doing a Kickstarter at the moment as well.
Oh, he is?
He is. Nice.
Hello, speak up.
I think it's almost done, though, to be honest. But he did a Kickstarter called Journeys to Somewhere Else, and he's doing this hardcover art book. It looks amazing. It looks amazing.
Have you got it?
No.
Ah.
But I will. I've decided... today when I saw it that I was going to get
Let's all do that together afterwards.
Okay. But yeah, it's just it's really nice art book collecting all the best fantasy art that he's done.
Yep.
And I've got...
Has that got some of the lands that he's done from...
I would think so. He just said that all the fantasy art, his favourite fantasy art that he's done.
There's a Lovecraft story, which I think the story title evade me now. But the cards, his Clifftop Retreat card just reminds me of this... Lovecraft tale, and I think I read that story about the same time as I saw Clifftop Retreat, and I was just like, oh, I'm all there. That's just this is perfect.
Yeah, I love Lovecraft.
Yeah, brilliant stuff.
Yeah. And I've got a thing for collecting art books as well. So
me
that
too.
Really caught me.
How can you not? I'm a bit addicted like that. If I see an image anywhere, and I'm just like, oh, I love that image. I just like to copy it onto the computer, or I have to get the book just so I've got it. I might not necessarily look at it. in a frenzy. But as long as I've got it, I feel like I'm safe.
Yeah. Got back to my safe place. Video games. Yeah. I need to collect the art books for video games. It's not that I sit and look at them all the time.
Sometimes they're better,
though. It goes away.
Yeah, I've got a whole collection of art books on my shelf, and, you know, a lot of them I haven't really had a good read through yet, but it's just they're
feel comfortable
just
having
makes you
them.
Happy just in you the, have them.
Having them in the same room with me, I feel like I'm getting a bit inspired.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, I get that.
But I feel like you see the finished, polished character walking through the game versus the pencil drawing of that character.
I love the concept
pencil drawing. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Love it.
Yeah, they've really hit on something with nerds like us getting that, selling those books now, because they haven't been doing that for very long now.
And Kickstarter is a great way to do it. Like, there's so many cool people that are, like, you know, not having to go the really expensive publisher route, whereas they can connect directly with the fans and, like, you know, the people who support them.
And there is something, like, I saw Noah Bradley talking about that off his site, Noah Bradley.com.
Yeah.
He's got a video there, and he's just saying, just market the shit out of yourself. And, that's the thing to do, isn't it? He just comes across as that kind of guy, very approachable, and it gives that his work a bit of a human element to it well. And it's good seeing someone's name written on the bottom of the card, and you go, I know that guy. No, you don't. You just seen him on a video, and he seemed personable.
And, like, being, you know, active on Reddit and all that as well is good.
Yeah.
I know Bradley's a guy.
But the opposite of that, Jason Chan, who I really wanted just to see more of his artwork and, and, like, you know, some sort of connect on Twitter or something like that, and just see a regular flow of stuff. He has none of that. That just gave me the shits, and I haven't really paid any attention to anything he's done since.
Mm. I mean,
take that, Jason.
As we're all on Facebook and social media and the internet,
it's
such a, you know, semi-untapped, but it's getting more tapped now, like, you know, a way to access people. And
I mean, it takes 2 seconds just to take a photo of some designs that you're doing, stick it up there, and it gives a whole bunch of buzz.
Definitely,
All right, what's your number one pick, Austin?
Oh, no.
What's top of the charts?
Well, I don't know if it'll... Okay, well, I might have to go back to my... Because I've picked some ones that aren't exactly monsters and aren't exactly typical thing, but I'm going to go back to the darkness now.
Good. Maddie's playing blue.
I kind of.
You're playing black.
It's a toss up. Can I have a. No, okay.
No, you can't.
Well, I really like Sib Sig Host by Steve Prescott.
I think I don't like this. All right, yes. Oh, I see.
With the zombies.
Yeah.
But on the same page, I really also like.
He's gone and done it. He's
Tessiga,
gonna pick two.
Tessiga, the Golden Fang, which is by Chris
Ron. That's the Banana King.
What number was yours? Chris Ron.
82. In Fate Reforged. But it's like, I love the whole...
See, this one, nobody really noticed the bananas.
Yeah, the
in
bananas
the corner.
In the Tessiga, the Golden Fang.
In Good Games, on the shop floor, he's referred to as the Banana King.
No one
says Tessiga, they call
it's
him the Banana King.
It's such an interesting little thing you don't notice, but then it's like, oh, bananas, hello.
Yeah.
But I like them both because it's like, you know, you got one, which is, you know, more of a mature step away from the... traditional monsters and zombies.
You're talking
and
about
dragons.
Both cards at once, are you?
Yeah. Because
you
know, I'm just going to do my thing. And then you've got this like really mature kind of piece of this king who's like lying in a chair. It's like quite an accurate kind of human
portrayal. Kind of that.
And then you've got on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Lurid, androgynous
king. On the opposite
king
side of the spectrum, you've
thing.
Got Sib Sig Host, which is like, you know, a whole bunch of zombies eating this guy.
I really like that.
So,
all right.
I guess it's kind of like why.
I think you can immediately forget about Sib Sig Host when you see the new Liliana flip card that's coming out in Origins. I'll show you it later and you'll lose your shit. That's amazing, that card.
Well, I guess it's like kind of highlighting my like love of magic because it's like you can have both of these two things that are so separate but like in the same world and they just make it work. It's so good, you know?
It is true. Bananas can exist.
Bananas can be like, you know,
a
monster's...
I never really
friend.
Noticed. I've been so distracted by the fruit bowl that I've never really noticed that Tasker is holding a whip. But apparently, he's a bit of a nasty bastard. He doesn't treat people very nicely.
Can I say that when I first looked at that, then I thought, oh, he looks like a right asshole.
He's kind of
but
sitting.
But then he just sat there with you know, like,
he's got a similar sort of pose.
Yeah,
I get a very kind of
he's got
Game
a similar yeah.
Type
that's,
evil.
That's what I was thinking. Joffrey.
I love the pose.
Yeah, it's thought of.
He's sitting on his chair. He's always riling.
Somebody,
his legs are all kind of you know.
And it looks like the podium he's got holding his bananas and fruit is like. It looks like a skull or something.
Yeah,
like
he's got a chained up something around maybe.
Like a zombie.
You know, he doesn't scream friendly person.
No, so none of us are going to be friends with Tessiga.
So they're both my number one pick. Because I'm terrible.
If I told you to ignore Sibsy Coast, Liliana, the next Liliana will,
Okay, well, Golden Fang then, there you go.
Banana King.
I got to put in some of them zombies. Banana King.
The Banana King.
Banana King.
All right. Well, that was the top five from you guys. just to close off this section, though, because we did the John Avon thing with Maddie, you got a little bit on Peter Morbacher's Angelaria.
I mean, Peter Morbacher's been a big influence of me for a while, and you know, he's been a really big magic artist, which is awesome, but he's also now, he's been developing this thing called Angelarium for like about 10 years, he says. Well, it's like, you know,
so he says,
every artist has their own, like,
oh, what's that? You want an art book? Oh, I've just got this shit here you could use.
Every artist has their own passion project. Like, I have my own, and it's great to, like, see him going far with taking it to the next level and getting a Kickstarter book.
I know Bradley has
book.
That Sin of Man stuff, which hopefully he'll do something with.
It's awesome to, like, you know, be able to see the commercial, like, fantasy work for magic and then see their own kind of
doing their own stuff
IP, which is like their own brand they're building, and you know, and Peter Morbacher, he's done it so that, you know, you can support him on Patreon, which is like a monthly, you pay him like $1 or like $2 or however much you want, and then he'll release work in progresses, behind the scenes art, stuff that, and like videos, and like, you know, he'll send you postcards, and it's to get the support, like, while he's making the art, and then after he's done all the art, he'll make a Kickstarter, and then that's where you can get, like, you know, custom prints from him and canvas prints and all this sort of stuff.
You mentioned last time. Last time you were on, he had a previous Kickstarter.
Yeah, he's kind of like, you know.
But that was cool, wasn't it? Because I think he shocked himself with that one.
Yeah, no, he's been quite successful with it, and he's a great, like, kind of role model for online kind of you know, marketing and stuff as well. So it's, you know, I've already backed it. Yeah. I've got my art book.
Hey, right after this, we're spending a fortune on Kickstarter.
Yeah, we're all going to spend all our pocket money on art books, but it's a great cause. I am gonna.
So what's the general vibe on the Angelarium?
Yeah, it's like book. A whole art book of like his own angel kind of characters, and they're all kind of surreal fantasy, kind of like, you know, weird like god kind of people with like different faces and stuff, but it's like, it's really beautiful digital paintings, and you can check it all out on angelarium.com.
Yeah, if anything, it's, you know, because being you know, atheist born and bred, there was something about magic when I got into magic and I just saw some of the angel characters in there. It's still just so appealing, as you know, that really grand mythic story. It's just still so powerful. It's really good fun.
No, it's awesome.
And he was, I think he did a lot of, was he doing Planeswalkers at the beginning? I think he did. I think maybe Magic M13 or something like that. He was doing a lot of the main Planeswalkers.
Yep. Yeah, it's great stuff, so check it out online. And we can put all the links in the description of the podcast.
Maybe get a cut from Peter. when he hears that we've said this.
Well, I should, you know. He also does this thing called One Fantastic Week, where he does like a weekly kind of crit show where he sometimes you know, helps artists and does that.
Well,
and
cool.
he reviewed my portfolio and he liked the zombie corn, so that was pretty cool.
But, you're still dining out in zombie corn. You need zombie corn part two, don't you?
I'm working on one, actually. I've started drawing one. It's like a Pegasus, but a zombie. So it's a Zombegasus.
Zombegasus, cool. Right.
So that's coming from Austin Mengler soon. That's another cool artist to check out.
Well, before we hop out of this, Maddie and I have had a very exciting Noah Bradley experience.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Very unexpected.
Yeah, very unexpected. How did that go down, Maddie? You want to take us through it? I'll chime in with the bits you miss.
Okay, sure. What? Well, it was you, wasn't it? With your first post that you had, you were talking about the card that we chose when we did our last
when podcast. When Maddie and I were last on, we busted a booster and we chose his swamp card.
Yeah. And just because
it was prettiest.
Pretty. Yeah. It was my favorite card.
It was a holographic one. Yeah.
No, it was just bog standard plain swamp card.
I thought I saw it was shiny.
Because you saw part two.
Sorry.
Which was when we busted a booster the other week.
Yep.
Oh no, we didn't bust a booster. I think I drafted or something like that. It was the seven line hand crew got together and had a bit of a magic draft, because we do that, you know, just within ourselves, because then we don't get hammered by people that can really play.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a foil one.
No.
Which I was like, this is the same card that, you know, Maddie and I chose when we were on the podcast last time, except it's beautiful in foil.
Yep.
And we said, I wrote Noah Bradley in it, but I didn't at Noah
didn't
Bradley
tag
or
him,
didn't tag him or anything.
I honestly don't know how he saw it. I really don't.
Okay. So then sometime in the middle of the morning one day, we're both awake going, fuck, Noah Bradley's talking to us on Twitter.
I saw it, I got an email and I went, what?
Yeah, because I must have tagged. I tagged you in it, and then Noah Bradley got contacted through and said, "Oh yeah, that looks sweet," or something. And so then we
see you fucking did the card. I did a good job.
I'm awesome.
It's so cool that he did that. Yeah,
it was really cool.
But then what happened?
He
went to your DeviantArt site, didn't he?
Yeah, I just had a look, and I just wanted to say to him that he was a big, because I'd followed him for a while.
Yeah,
just, you know, a lot of his stuff was really obviously very, very cool. And so yeah, I just said to him, you know, just wanted to let you know that you're very, I find your work very inspiring. And but then I'd seen that he'd gone and had a look at my stuff as well, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was awesome. And I've started the sentence now. We did send him some questions for today.
But he's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. Very busy guy. We still love you, Noah.
Yeah.
You know, he's knocking around New Zealand at the moment in jumpers with beautiful scenery behind him. So why would you be talking to us?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, it's great that he connects people online like that. And you got to do that as an artist. You got to.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And something we were talking about before the show as well on, I think it's noahbradley.com. There's a video of him talking to art students. And whether you're into art or not, just go and watch that video because he's so humble about it. And he starts off with saying, these are some pictures I was doing 5 years ago.
See how they start out.
And they're utter shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's saying it. You know, he's not shy about saying that himself. Yeah. But you're just like, wow, it's amazing how ordinary it looks. Yeah. And then hard work, which is just gets you anywhere. Hard work, you know, like 5 years later.
Exactly.
Just knocking out awesome stuff.
It's like, you know, you see these like amazing illustrations of one-offs and you're like, well, okay, that was amazing. I'd never be able to do that.
Yeah.
But what you don't see is the years and years and hundreds and thousands of sketches and work and all the hard failures and stuff.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, if you started something now that you were okay at and you just worked at it for 5 years, you know, how old are you going to be? Who cares? You've still got a lifetime ahead of you
put
being
in
awesome.
Hundreds and thousands of hours.
It's
such a, you know.
And I love it when artists show what they did, they did in the beginning.
Yeah.
Whenever I sometimes want to go to like a DeviantArt, for example.
Yeah.
Of somebody that's like really, really cool.
Yeah.
I like to go back to their first page.
Yeah, I love doing that
just
too.
Just to see what they were posting in the very beginning.
Seeing their progression.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's
good.
Not about going, oh my God, look how crap they were. It's like, wow, like this is amazing.
Where am I at in relation to the poorer
it's like,
stuff?
Well, this is you kind of see your own journey in the next 2 years
it's
of
so good,
what
yeah.
I can what I'll be able to do in 2 years or whatever.
Yep. I've kind of not that I'm on the par of anything else, but just because with the writing thing, so I've just totally focused on writing over the last few years and I haven't done art. I'm just desperate to, but I haven't. I've just been focusing on writing.
Yep.
I've left on my website a lot of my older stories, which only one of them I went back, and old as in 2010.
Yeah.
And I went back and edited it and made it into new. I saved one, I think only half of a sentence from the entire short story because the rest of it was just dreadful.
Mm.
What I'd learned in 5 years, it was kind of good. And so I've left a lot of stuff on for the same reason that if I can actually get anywhere with writing, hopefully people can go there and read the early stuff and go, wow, in 2010, he was dreadful.
You know?
Well, it's like, you know, any kind of, you know, creative, like writing, art, illustration, you know, music, I guess. It's like, you know, you just need to knuckle down and do
just,
you know,
loads
hundreds
of
hours of practice.
But it's easy, if you're really passionate about it, it's easy to do.
Yeah, and you've
for
got
sure,
to just,
yeah.
you know.
Well, I love the tremor in your voice then, Maddie. If you're really passionate about it, it's easy to do.
So many nights I've spent.
But it's sobbing over my...
But Noah Bradley as well, in that video, he says something as well, which is brilliant, which was... well, he makes a statement, but I think before I say the statement, I think what you were talking about before, you know, when you look at someone's amazing art and you go, I can never do that. That guy has just got amazing amounts of talent.
Yeah.
And in that video, Noah Bradley says, I wasn't the best artist in the class. And he also said, I wasn't, so he wasn't the most talented or something. And then there was something else as well. There was people that were way better than him, but he's just marketed the shit out of himself and worked hard at it.
Yeah.
And they're probably still more amazing than him, I think he said. But they're not working. You don't know who they are because he's just got his stuff in front of the right people.
It irks me maybe when people go, oh, you know, he's so talented. But I think talent and skill are two different things.
Talent is a terrible thing to say to an artist. I wish I had your talent. It's like, dude, I've been working at this my entire life.
I always say, like, I've heard a quote somewhere. It's like, talent you've got naturally. Skill is something you develop, you know, hours and hours and hours. And so when somebody goes, oh, you're so talented, I'm like, thanks. But I prefer the word skill.
Yeah.
talent is something I had 10 years ago.
To the normal person, you know, obviously they don't mean it as
a
diss.
Of course not.
No, no.
And, you know, it's always humbling to hear that. But when someone says you're really talented or something, it's like,
well, actually, I'm really hardworking too. Yeah. It's like,
but that's when somebody, then I've had people say, oh, you know, you got good skill.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Thank
that's
you.
That's a lot better.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. I'll take that one. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like, it's like, well, I had the same amount of talent in 2010, but now I've got the same amount of talent. I'm churning out amazing stuff. What's the difference?
Because talent, I feel like people say talent you were given or a skill you earned.
And it's weird how often people who are the most talented have also been working at it their entire life as well. Yeah. So it's like...
I think it's an easy dismissive thing to just... it almost guards people that, you know, the people that can admire something that someone's done, but just... they might have busy lives in different areas. It's sort of it's a defensive thing, isn't it? It's just go, well, I couldn't do that because I haven't got that talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay. And that makes you feel good about yourself. Yeah. So it distances yourself.
And people don't think about it, but because I think we're artists, we sit there and thinking, and I'm like,
yeah, you know, it's a very strange kind of head to be in. Like when just, I don't know, when you're an artist and you're at a con, and people are like talking to you, and you're like, what is all this? But I love this. I can't remember exactly who it was. It might have been like Michelangelo or someone, like one of the really old masters.
Yeah, I've heard of Michael.
And there was this
Michelangelo family.
Someone Leonardo. Yeah. But yeah, I can't remember what the story was from. But it was just like, you know, someone was like, you know, he was doing a big painting, and one of his big fans came up and was like, "Hey, could you just do me like a, you know, a really quick sketch?" And he did it in like, you know, a minute or two, and they're like, "Holy moly, that's amazing!" Like, it only took like a minute, and he's like, "Actually."
Yeah.
It took me 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you just got to spend that much time, like, you know, training and studying and getting all these things in your subconscious so that when you do it again, you can just do it
and
like that.
You're always learning.
Yeah.
Always,
you know,
learning. And always
you never
developing.
Stop learning.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had this weird, naive thought that like after uni I'd be like, okay, I know it now. I know how to art.
That's all it's going to be.
But that's the same for anything. You know?
Yeah.
My degree is something completely different.
Yeah,
and
never
I felt
learning.
Like as soon as I started work, first day after uni, I was an expert on it now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was shit at it then, you know. It was just, I was dreadful. Mm. But yeah.
And often you learn the most when you're like working really hard on something and had a job and you can keep learning.
But with the art stuff though now, do you feel like any of the tools make it more difficult? I mean, that's probably like a barrier that I threw out there for myself.
It's
felt like,
raised,
okay, I can draw and do it. But then if I'm going to take a sketch and make it into something, you know, like a magic card, I've got to scan it into Photoshop and then do Photoshop inside and out. And Painter is just even harder. So it's like the tools make me afraid now.
I find it easier.
Yeah.
For me, it's made it easier. Like, Photoshop and all that now give me the opportunity to do things I couldn't do traditionally.
Yeah.
I'd be too afraid to do traditionally.
I feel like it's more generally raised the bar in terms of like
quality,
you know,
and
how competitive like the art industry is these days.
Mm. And it's probably cheaper because like I always used to give myself the same excuse for like, all right, if I'm going to do something in colour, all right, I need some oil paints.
Yeah.
Them things are fucking expensive for a little tube. I can't just be forward to learning with those things. I need to be churning out masterpieces immediately.
No matter the medium, like you just have to have the fundamental skill there in the first place. Like it's one thing to be able to do Photoshop and stuff, obviously, but like saying that, you have to have the skill to like back it up. Like it's very noticeable if you can see someone who's just using shortcuts.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if someone's just jumped into Photoshop without knowing how to draw or like just do life studies or figure drawing, you'll see all the shortcut work and you'll be like, oh, that's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But if, you know, you build up that skill over like, you know, studying.
You've still got the Photoshop and Painter to learn.
And then after that, you can learn the shortcuts.
Did you learn most of your Photoshop Painter skills formally or just by screwing around with the program?
I just started it in high school and I still today, you know, I'll sketch something and then I'll scan it and then, you know, crop it and change it and like blow it up and like, I'll always sometimes start with a sketch as a thumbnail and then like blow it up in Photoshop and keep painting it there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just about, you know, having the skill and then it's just about of the more you do, the quicker you'll get, you know, don't try and time yourself and get really quick. Just do it as long as it takes.
Quality
and
first,
then you can build the speed up later. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Cause I've seen artists and pieces people have done and it'll look really like you can tell that they've worked really hard in Photoshop to get the effects and that, right? But there'll be things that are off, and whether it's anatomy or perspective, and because of the fundamentals aren't there.
Because it's just another tool, you know? It's
It doesn't matter how good it is. If you haven't got your fundamentals right, then it's not going to look great.
Yeah,
for sure. All right.
Cool.
Oh, this is going to be awesome. This is my favorite bit. Long-running thread.
Uh-oh.
Star Wars Episode 7 update with Madison Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, you better get Facebook and
YouTube. I did my reading.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to blob first, okay? So you've got an opportunity for more homework. But people are listening to this for your opinion and for insight. So
I can't
blob now.
Okay.
Star Wars Episode 7 up there with Madison Jones. We wait for this for fucking ages.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
Yeah, this is going
to
be awesome.
I'm looking forward to some Star Wars news.
Later on in the year, November-ish time, I believe, we've got a Star Wars Episode 7's coming out. Actually, I'm not excited about it. I'm just preparing myself for massive disappointment. But we've had our Reuben reporter, Madison Jones, finger on the pulse of what's going on in Star Wars world. And she's coming to talk about it. And what have you got?
Nothing.
No news?
I'm usually pretty up to date with all this kind of crap.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing.
When I was doing my research for this, yeah. I was like, I haven't heard anything in a while. And so I was doing all this reading and there's nothing really.
Didn't Harrison Ford try to kill himself on a plane?
Yeah, he was.
Hang on a minute. Star Wars Episode 7 up there with Harrison Ford and Madison Jones. What's happening?
He's in a plane crash.
Oh, no.
All right.
And it was actually pretty serious, but.
That's horrible.
Apparently it's been like the third or fourth plane crashes.
Has he?
Yeah, because he just flies planes. And
you know, when if he's crashed the plane in an Indiana Jones movie, that's not a real plane crash.
It must be this Death Star just getting him down all the time.
Yeah, shooting him down and he's...
they're still in his chase.
All right, so is that the end of the segment then? Are we just going to...
No, I mean, I can talk about
Hope you feel better. Hope you feel better, Harrison.
Yeah. Everybody was actually really worried.
He's a huge stoner, though. How can he... Was he flying the plane?
Feel better.
He flew the plane and he crashed into a golf course, apparently.
Yeah, because he just saw the green.
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, that's where I need to be.
I don't have much on the movie, but... So for those that are interested in the next Battlefront game, which is actually pretty big.
Right.
Because if you're like me, I played the second one and even the first one.
Oh, this reminds me of something else I need to talk.
Most of my childhood.
Good.
At the Star Wars Celebration next month in April, they'll be showing some gameplay, which is super exciting because we've not seen pretty much anything for this year. And it's
looking forward to that
massive.
I've never ever got excited about Star Wars games like on consoles or anything like that.
You see this.
Yeah.
they showed like... I think it wasn't even anything. It was just kind of showing Endor, and it was just showing like the foliage, and it was a little bit where somebody ran out onto a speed bike.
Yeah. Yep.
But it looks unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
They seem to get a lot of mileage out of, hey, it's just the same as any other shitty first-person game, but I'm holding a lightsaber.
Battlefront, because it's a series, and the last Battlefront came out. I was actually playing it on Steam a couple of weeks ago with my brother. And
I think we all heard about that.
Yeah. Like, five, 10 years ago. But yeah, these Battlefront games, they usually focus on like the Stormtroopers and the Clone Wars as well.
Okay.
But I've actually heard that with this next Battlefront, they've already got, because I think it comes out fairly in a couple of months, it's got Episode 7 stuff. So a couple of the heroes and the villains from Episode 7.
What do you think about the new lightsaber? Because it was quite a controversial topic, wasn't it?
It was. And
everyone was like, what is this? Why does the lightsaber now have lasers on the side like an old-fashioned sword?
I thought it was pretty cool.
You thought it was cool?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I think we talked about this before, the angle of them so that you could actually block someone chopping your hands off. Or you just slide down and just take the person's hand off. Don't
I guess the laser might go underneath the holder for it as well, maybe. Or
I think it's just a cool design. So
I think it was something different. And
it's like when Darth Maul rocked the double-ended one. Yeah. It's like, now we're talking. Yeah. And now they're just taking another step forward.
But I just thought the actual blade looked a lot meaner.
Mm.
It had all like it looked different and it acted a bit different.
I still think it's always going to come back to. It's like the Wachowski brothers, right? They did the Matrix, and they just bankrolled that on it looks amazing and we're going to do all this amazing stuff. They've got another movie coming out and they're selling what the movie's going to be about by what you're going to see, the visuals you're going to see.
Yeah.
Now, I'm an easy sucker for that. I'll go, this is amazing. Like I do it with board games when I'm playing with a 7-line hand board games crowd. I'm like, this game's amazing. Look at it. And they're like, yeah, but it sucks to play. I can get into a movie because, this is beautiful. That's how Episode 1, 2, and 3 got by on me.
Mm. Well,
I thought, this looks beautiful. And then forgot to think about what the story is.
It was actually happening.
And so if they do that with Episode 7, they just go, let's just make a whole bunch of cool visuals. Great. Keeps a bunch of artists in a job and they get to pump out some really cool stuff. But if there's no story there, it's going to be so bad.
I think it'll be interesting. I really do. Because it's the start of a new trilogy.
I want to see an interesting movie. I'll see something like The English Patient or some.
My question was for you, because you like the whole visual thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen Chappie?
No.
Because apparently, because that's big on the visuals and it was like really hyped up and I really want to see it. Apparently,
from the director of District 9.
Yeah, and because you know it's big on the visuals.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Apparently, it's shite.
Well, yeah. It's funny how, you know, obviously Neil Blomkamp got really big for making District 9.
And Elysium. And he was the nutcase in Elysium.
But a lot of people are saying Neil Blomkamp, the director, is just trying to remake District 9 again and again. And you see how Chappie, it's like, on the poster it says, from the director of District 9. It doesn't say Elysium, which is his last film. Yeah. It says the previous one because...
Everybody got so excited because, you know, of what he's done with it and visually and, you know, what it looks like.
Yeah.
But apparently everybody that I've spoken to that has seen it, it says it's not good.
Yeah. Okay. I still want to see it. I think it looks pretty cool. I've heard mixed things about it.
The movie still.
Yeah.
It's got Hugh Jackman as the bad guy. It's got that Die Antwoord, the crazy South African rappers. They're pretty cool.
Oh, they've got the same guy that was in District 9 and in Elysium.
Yeah.
You know,
the guy who plays Wickus.
Is Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That guy was incredible in District 9. You know, he's that really super pathetic, vulnerable character with getting more and more diseased as time goes by. Then in Elysium, he's like the South African Rambo nutcase. And it's amazing.
Then he voices Chappie, I think.
Oh, really?
Oh, so it's Chappie's robot or something.
I think it's supposed to, is he AI?
Yeah, it's like the first robot with feelings or something. Yeah.
So you're saying it looks awesome.
Visually it does, but apparently the story falls a bit flat.
Okay. And then I hear that...
It sounds like a movie I want to see.
The same director has just been okayed for the new Alien sequel. I heard about that.
Oh, I've got to let that stuff go. I'm just... fuck me with the reboots and the start.
Have you heard
sick
that they might be rebooting Indiana Jones?
Yep, I have heard that. And Ghostbusters with the all-girl
team. Speaking of...
It's just everything. Anything you can freaking think of.
It's like
all the creative people in the world making new stories, drawing new pictures, creating new characters... Whoever it is in control is still just going,
they know it would make money.
It's so lazy and undaring. It's like it's the death of art. That's why you got to that's why you got to kickstarter movies and stuff like that, you know?
But then you look at the new Deadpool and I get so excited. I can't even.
I saw that.
You saw my post?
Yeah, I saw it from the local comic store second. But as I was scrolling up, I saw Madison's post for the Deadpool poster. And as it came into view, I said, oh, I'm so, like, sharing this to Madison's page. And it was, like, shared by Maddie. And I was like, oh, she's already getting into it.
And just going back briefly to the Star Wars prequels, did you guys see the Red Letter Media Star Wars reviews? Have you seen them?
Yeah, they're gold. They're pure gold. That's where I learned that it was a shit movie.
I just thought they were worth a mention. Because, like, you know, as, you know, early 20 Solid. Guy, I grew up with the prequel movies.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't actually see the, you know, the 4, yeah, 5 the and 6, ones. The really good ones until later. So I saw Star Wars like, yeah, it's all right. I mean, the prequels, but I don't know what everyone's going on about. They're so good. And then I saw the other ones. I was like, wow. And it was when I saw these YouTube reviews.
It's interesting.
They're like hour-long reviews about this, you know, this really weird, old, like typical nerd character. And he starts out like, Star Wars The Phantom Menace is the worst thing since my son. And although my son eventually hung himself in the back of a strip club, these prequels will be with us forever. And it's like, it's amazing. You got to check it out. We'll put it in the links. Yeah, it's like, they've got an hour-long review for each one of the prequels, and they just tear into shit, and it's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolute gold, that the Red Letter Media stuff.
It's all about how the special effects just completely take over the plot, and it's all about jamming as much on the screen as possible.
And that's like, have you ever seen the Honest trailers?
Yeah, they're funny too, yeah.
Yeah, they just take a movie, any movie, and just so make good. A trailer for it, but tear it to shit. It's very funny.
All right, while we're on multimedia, something I want to talk to you about off-air, Madison.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it up now.
Just whisper it.
I'm just trying to make it nervous.
Right.
I've been playing Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
Thingy over there has a massive crush on Arno.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw her chatting up a statue of him.
Like, who are you talking about? I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's you, Madison. You were talking to him, weren't you?
I was. I actually had...
Did it go well?
Well, yeah.
But even though he's made of fiberglass or something?
It was a competition PAX had where if you post... All these people posted pictures in the best selfie...
Wow.
Yeah, one this like sex.
How was that a selfie of yourself?
Oh, I just took a picture with him. I don't really give a crap. I knew he wasn't going to win it. But
I did notice one of your friends cropped it somewhat later on. Anyway.
My dad was really not happy with
that. Oh, really?
yeah, my dad saw it and he was not impressed.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Anyway, I've been playing Assassin's Creed on the Xbox, which I know you'd rather die than own an Xbox. I didn't challenge her to that. I said, I will buy you an Xbox
or you can die. I've got an Xbox.
Is that 360 or Xbox One?
360.
All right. Anyway, so you've been playing Assassin's Creed...
Unity?
Unity.
Played and finished months ago.
Yeah, right. The controls on it are fucking terrible.
Yeah,
it's
I
like,
remember.
It's like, go through a window. Oh, do you mean jump to the other side of the window? No, I mean, go through that open window. You're an assassin. Oh. I'll just climb up above it.
Yeah.
No. Oh,
well,
Jesus.
When I was at PAX last year,
yeah.
They had Unity where you could go and play it because obviously it hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And so I was like, lined up and I played it and I was like, I played all the Assassin's Creed, so I was like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I couldn't control it.
Oh, so like, they've changed it.
Yeah, it was a couple of the controls that... Because I just did what came naturally when I was playing these games and it didn't work. So it's not all completely different, but yeah, to learn a little bit.
So I'm still laughing about your dad getting mad about that.
Yeah. But, wow. Yeah, this when Unity came out, it got torn to shreds because they were accused of bringing out this game that wasn't finished. Because they came out...
Oh, right.
The weeks that followed it, it had massive patches. Mm. Because you saw these screenshots on the internet of... In the middle of, what's the word? Cutscenes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my god.
Races,
I remember seeing that.
Wow. Like, with the bones. The
that was terrifying.
Eyes. Yeah. It was pretty bad. Like,
that sounds great.
I remember seeing memes of that. And it had just two eyeballs and like all this red, like,
it's like
stretched pixels.
Painting like one of your French girls.
And it was
messed up with no face missing bits.
So, yeah, it, you yourself got torn in.
I was like, wow, this new Assassin's Creed game is pretty surreal, pretty abstract.
And don't get me wrong, like, it was.
Different kind
I
of
really
approach.
Like, because I've been to Paris, went to Paris a few years ago, and there was a couple of, like, cathedrals that
you can go into,
and it's.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And some of the I love the thing how they've got the you can solve separate mysteries.
Yeah.
Of them are really kind of it's just kind of just take a punt in the end because there's no really the clues don't really lock together as far as jigsaw puzzles.
Like,
some of them are very vague.
And there was a lot of extra stuff you could do.
Yeah.
But they kind of made a mistake with they brought out an app. For like,
I've got that. The companion,
where you couldn't really do half of the stuff in game, extra stuff, or unlock anything unless you had this companion. And so I got it, and I was trying to unlock stuff.
Yeah,
and it just got too hard, and I just
And then you've spent. Say you've spent. I got it with the statue and everything, but say you spend $90 getting the game, and then you get the companion app. They still want you to spend money on extra stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, can't I get everything because I've got the game anyway? Because I wouldn't have the companion app if I didn't have the actual game. I'm not just playing this for chits and giggles.
And they got a lot of criticism again for that.
Good.
And they actually brought out a patch a couple of weeks ago where they unlocked a lot of the stuff you had to buy because I don't think anybody was buying it. So.
Good. I didn't buy any of it.
No.
I spat my phone and threw it away.
But I was pissed because they had, did you see the thing? They had these initiates. Where they had like little mini missions where you could go back and play as Ezio and Altair and all these different assassins. It was really cool, but you had to unlock it, and I just couldn't be bothered. But they released all that, so I have to go back and play it. But Unity was pretty.
Yeah, you could see. Look, that's the first Assassin's game I've ever played, and overall, I think it was good. But yeah, there's so many holes in it, and I think we had a bit of a whinge. I can remember having on another previous podcast with Riley, we were complaining about all of that stuff. That's they bring it out now, and it's just even the hardware is just full of holes.
Yeah,
you know, you got to download patches and updates for it, and it's all about release dates, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just go, all right, we'll bring out another console next month. They do that, and then you just got to wait a year looking at this black box that does fuck all.
That's why, like, when developers go, oh, we're going to delay a game, it is annoying. And a little while ago, they announced that they'd be delaying Uncharted 4, and I was like, I was pissed, but at the same time, I'd rather them delay a game for a year rather than bring out a game half finished.
Yeah, that's
right. What I mean? So.
I think because I'm writing the Batman Arkham series. I love that. I played every single one of those inside and out. And the Arkham Knight one's been delayed like 100 times, hasn't it, as well?
Yeah, it was just delayed again for a couple of weeks. They announced that a couple of days ago. But again, it's like I'd rather you delay a couple of weeks and bring out.
Yeah. I was just going to say, did you hear news about the new Assassin's Creed movie they're going to make?
Yes.
And there's going to be Michael Fassbender. Yes. As the main guy,
Have you got an amazing crush on Michael Fassbender?
I don't actually.
I do.
That's going to be disappointing.
Can I just say on the record, as a straight guy,
you do, right? So they can see who the target is.
I've got a man crush on him. You know,
I could go on a whole rant about making video games into movies. I won't because
Michael Fassbender.
4 hours, but I don't think they should be making an Assassin's Creed movie.
No,
I don't think they should be making an Uncharted movie. I don't think they should make a Metal Gear movie.
Or World of Warcraft.
I don't think. I think video games
Halo?
Are special. No.
A magic movie coming out, which will be shit.
I'll
tell you that now.
I've never seen a video game movie adaptation that I liked.
No, not yet.
Not yet. But I think video games work because they're video games; they're not movies.
I did like some of the shorts going back to the District 9 thing that Neil Blomkamp made
for
the Halo.
Yeah,
really old ones of the people and the brute and the big hammer and stuff.
Yeah, and there's some like fan.
But they were cool.
Fan made. Short films that have been made for Halo and that are really cool, but I just think
Yeah.
It's just Hollywood trying to grab more money, it makes me mad. It makes me very mad.
But Tomb Raider.
Are you shitting me? No. Are you shitting me?
No. See, that's
where's your head at?
It's our Chromebook. We got on that Xbox has like free, like I don't know if the PlayStation's doing it as well, but you get like you get free games every month, just like with being on gold. Mm. You can just like download a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. One of them last month was the Tomb Raider, one of the Tomb Raider games. Mm. So I downloaded that. I'm watching the intro. I'm getting all picky because I'm looking at the graphics going, oh, this, that, and the other. And then something in my mind just went, you were so fanatical about the first release of this game. It was the greatest thing ever. It was this puzzle solving, going into places and tombs and doing all that sort of stuff. It was the greatest thing ever. And yet it was, she was so angular, you know. And horrible, but it was the greatest thing ever. PlayStation 1. Yeah.
But that's what I like. If you have the opportunity, I like going back and playing games that I absolutely loved.
Yeah. And just like, to disappoint yourself.
No. That's the thing. I don't find myself disappointed. I just go back and I play it and I think it's amazing that even though it may look shit today's standards, you still love it so much. And that's why I think it's amazing.
That's why I thought it would be interesting that you thought 4, 5 and 6 Star Wars were good.
Yeah.
Because I have a problem going back and seeing movies that were from a long time ago.
I've matured a bit since I saw the prequels, and then I saw the original Star Wars trilogy.
And it still worked? Because I think it's impossible. I cannot watch those without being biased because I've seen them from day one, right?
Yep, yep.
So I always loved them. But I thought, going back now and looking at them.
Yeah, no, it was great. Like, that's why I love, as you were saying, Maddie, going back and playing old games. Mm. Like, I think I played Diablo 1 the other week, and it was just like, you know, because the third one now is like, it's still fun, but it's so much more like for a larger audience, and it's a bit more for kids and stuff. And the first one's like, because the technology was so limited, like, they really, like, it was so immersive, and like, they pushed all the stuff there.
Yeah.
It was great.
And that's like I said, my brother and I were playing the old Battlefront 2 a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
It doesn't look anything special to look at, but it's just, we're sitting playing it, and I just had a huge smile on my face.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
oh my Battlefront,
God. Is Battlefront.
Battlefield.
Battlefield is a completely different series.
There's another series coming out where they're on the street now, but using the same sort of mechanic. Yeah, so it's Battlefield, but they're all less like Grand Theft Auto Battlefield.
Yeah, apparently, I haven't played it, but apparently it's doing really well.
Yeah.
A lot of people like it, yeah.
Have you guys played like Dark Souls games? Because they've got the new one out, Bloodborne, that I saw.
Yeah, apparently
that looks really good.
Yeah,
we're so off target now, but who cares? No one's listening anymore. This is good.
Anyways.
While we're
totally in my element.
That's fine. Let's go with it.
Just talking
I was watching. It's a Foxtel thing. There was some show, and as it finished, it had a promo for the. It was called The Real Story Behind Science Fiction. It's a BBC series, 4 episodes, right? And they did the, you know, cutscene thing of what's coming up in the show. Cuts to the scene. It's the dude from 2001. Uh-huh. You know, the guy, doctor, whatever his name is, that ends in the pod at the end. Have you seen this? And all the lights are going over. And all you hear of him say, my God, it's full of stars. And he's really old now. And he's got this beard. Did you see it? I posted it on Facebook.
I don't think I saw it.
But his eyes are the same. He's got one of those guys, you know, bright blue eyes. And his facial structure is the same. And it's just this old guy delivering that line perfectly. It almost brought tears to my eyes. And I never gave a shit about 2001. I saw it. And I was like, yeah, I can see what again, I don't care. I'm over it. But that bit, and I was explaining to my son the other day something about a monolith. Imagine finding this finely crafted monolith on the moon. Who would make that? Can't just happen. And I'm almost tearing up explaining it to him. Yeah. I'm thinking about this. Oh my God, it's full of stars.
It looks like subconsciously you love it more than you thought. Yeah.
This is the greatest movie I've ever not
That's
enjoyed.
Awesome.
All right, should we just neats and twos and get out of here? You haven't got big neats and twos, and by the way, if you're still here. If you're still with us, by the way.
I'm very happy.
I'd like to get sent. Maddie will give you a cuddle next time she sees you. And then her dad will come and kill you. All right. What do you mean, no, you won't?
No, I won't.
You're a Seven Land Hand family now. We hug everyone.
She's part of the monks now. She'll beat you up for it.
Yeah, I'm all about peace and love. But
she's a cuddle monk.
Yeah, she's getting into her spirituality.
Madison Cuddle Monk Jones.
Bulletproof.
We should have come up with that at the beginning, so that bullshit about being
a...
I
wish everybody could have just seen Austin's, like, monk moves. And
well, I got beautifully folded origami lotus. No.
When I read it, I was like, what are you doing?
Cuddle
Do you
monk.
Not know me at all?
You don't feel like a lotus?
She's
I don't
assassin.
Feel like a folded origami lotus, no.
Definitely folded.
It's like...
Crumpled,
opposite.
Screwed up ball of paper.
Angry.
Yeah.
Paper cut. Do you know what I mean?
All right. All right. Well, let's neats and twos. Let's blob and then neats and twos. Need some twos. Everyone's favourite segment. All right. I've got down, written down here, push for more likes on Facebook. Facebook / Sevenland Hand. No need. We've got to 200.
We're set. We've conquered the internet.
Yeah, we've conquered the internet. It's now ours. We're going for 200 likes so that Matt McHale will then now host the it's a Final Fantasy role-playing game, Post-Apocalyptic Nightmare.
Sounds fantastic.
So we'll get our role-playing games grouped together now, and we'll record a full-length thing of whatever Fantasy Flight have got us for a role-playing game. Mm. And Matt formed a terracotta pot.
Wow.
With his own hands and clay, I imagine. And everyone everyone who's liked the page from the very beginning and is not going to disagree, if you don't want this to happen, please let us know. Yep. We're going to put all the names in the pot. I don't know why it has to be a pot. We'll draw them out, and they may or may not appear as NPCs within the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, we're getting...
How can people get in on this deal?
Like Sevenland Hand
on the page on Facebook.
You can still do it. If we get up to 250, those extra 50 people... Doesn't stop.
You know, I almost want to unlike the page just so I can like it again.
You still have the same name.
Maybe
it was questioned at one stage. Someone said, hey, I don't see Madison's name on this list. And I had to scroll back a long way to find Madison. She's OG.
One of the founding mothers of the page.
Yeah. So that's 200 likes for the Facebook page. Keep it coming. Spread the word.
Internet done.
Even give us a review on iTunes. That would be... I don't know if anyone's done that.
Give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Two bags of popcorn.
Yeah. Game of the month. We'll be back in a fortnight with a review of Star Realms. So tune in and learn about the game. We're learning about it and playing the crap out of it. Played it the other night. It was really good. Really good fun. So when we do that podcast, we'll come up with a secret password or whatever, and we'll tell you on the show, so this won't be a secret or anything. And then when you come in, and there'll be a package. Good Game St. James are putting together a package so that you can get Star Realms and all of the, like, the box and all the sleeves you're going to need for it for a tidy sum, rather than, you know, one that ends in a 3.
Yep.
I don't know. Nice. No, but it'll be to your advantage. So listen in. Seven Line Hand becomes useful. All right. Maddie, where are we going to find you at?
Well, I have my own website now. MadisonJones.com.
Nice.
Where I have all my links to Twitter and Facebook. And so I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook, and I've got my DeviantArt.
Do you want to say your Twitter, or are you going to change it?
I might change it.
All right.
So just
go to the MadisonJones.com.
Go to my website and you'll get the link from there. Yeah. MadisonJones.com. Yeah.
Right. Nice. And you'll have all the links from that.
Yeah. And we'll have my own t-shirt site as well.
Own t-shirt site as well?
Yes. Oh, well, yeah. My page on a t-shirt. Well, on a site where I will be selling
t-shirts. I'm totally confused. So what comes first, the t-shirt or the site?
My website. Go to my website and then you will know how to get to my t-shirts.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
What was that thing you were working on too? You've got the magic art?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got my cards as well.
Frame still extensions.
My altars, yeah. Which has got a separate altars on the cards. Page, but it's still, you'll be able to find it on my website.
Yeah. And Good Game St. James doesn't even know that they're doing this yet, but we're thinking about putting up a Madison Jones gallery, right?
Which would be nice. Very
so if Dave Clark's listening to this right now, surprise.
Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get that going, because that'll live right next door to the Oster Mengler Gallery, which is going to have a
Sexiest
second rebirth.
Second incarnation. It's going to be good.
It is going to be the reincarnation.
We're sitting here in the new store, and I hadn't seen it yet, and I'm impressed.
It's impressed by it not being there.
I'm impressed. No, I'm impressed by the
new store.
The potential it has for art as well.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think it's going to look really good seeing your stuff hung up in the corner. A lot more people will be able to see it and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully you'll get a few more sales through and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, if you're in the store, definitely help out your local artists and buy some of that gear.
I have to get you some more business cards to chuck at people as they leave.
Dave, store manager Dave. Okay. We'll get him on the awesome. Counter there or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, Austin, whereabouts are you?
Yeah, similarly, I have my own website now too, austinmengler.com. But if you wanted to, like, you know, just search my name in Google or my Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. I got a print shop on Society 6 now too.
Mengler's not as hard to spell as it sounds.
No, it's just Austin with an E. Like, remember, like, Jane Austen. Like, you know,
Jane,
like,
Austen.
Not Austin Powers.
Oh, now you're hitting the level I'm thinking of.
Not much,
all right,
yeah,
Jane
babies,
Austen.
But Jane Austen, you know, because it's E-N.
Austen.
Austin Mengler.
Australia 10.
On the internet, I'm
Mengler.
Yeah, Mengler.
Glur.
And Lord Netsua is my kind of internet slang.
Lord Netsua is Austin backwards.
That just
with Lord
spoiling the magic for everyone.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Some people I know on the net,
you need people to
last,
find you.
Like 5 years, and then they go, oh my God, I just figured it out.
Really?
Yeah.
But I've got a bad habit of reading everything backwards. I don't know why. It's just a thing.
Write a thing.
Yeah,
but,
maybe.
But yeah, I'll be. I'll also be in Perth in a couple of weeks.
You're in Perth right now, sunshine.
I mean, officially with my art. You
officially
know.
With your art. But Austin you brought your folio today.
The artist Austin Mengler will be at Oz Comic Con.
Oz Comic Con
in a couple of weeks.
And you've got two tables.
Yeah,
so you'd have enough room for someone else to sit on.
I'm going
to
be double briefing it.
No, it's not going to happen. Don't worry. I tried, Maddie.
You and Maddie. Come and lie across his desk and be like, you and Maddie, I did stuff too.
Paint me like one of your friends. Yeah, all right.
I did stuff too.
Yeah, if he painted you like one of his French girls, you'd have teeth exploding from your ribcage and stuff like that.
So that's fantastic. The 11th and 12th of April at Perth Convention Centre. Right. And yeah, and then the week before that, next weekend, I got a little event I'm going to be at too called Swan Con.
Third and fourth?
Yeah, that's the Easter weekend. Yep.
So where does Swan Con live?
That is at the Pan Pacific Hotel in Perth.
Oh, in the middle of town?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're doing a thing right before Comic Con.
It's a different kind of convention. It's like a more of a... Like, there's going to be LARPing people there doing live-action role-play.
Okay.
There's going to be, like, tabletop, and it's, you know, I'm going to be selling only original kind of art, so no fan art, no pop culture references, so...
That's cool.
And it's going to be an art show as well, so I'm going to enter a few pieces in that.
That reminds me, for those listeners that have listened on, they'll now be able to hear me ask you the question, which I thought of a few days ago.
Oh, yeah.
The thing with the fan art, is that a tactic to make sales? Because... I always thought it would be in, you know, expressing yourself as new designs and new characters.
Yeah.
But then there's this fan art thing that's like everywhere and everyone seems to be doing it.
I don't know about you, but I'm very afraid to do fan art because I know there's a lot of professional concept artists out there that will criticise you for it.
Mm. Yeah.
I've read it, you know what I mean? I've seen them say it. Like, they don't... all, and I think it's all very well for them to say what they made it and they're working for big clients. But I think for me,
Yeah.
It's not so much a tactic, it's just doing art of things I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And if
yeah.
other people love it and want to buy it, then that's a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, there's been like, you know, I guess there's such a huge spectrum. It depends what sort of artist you are and stuff. There's great examples on either side. You know, I like how Dave Raposa, he, you know, he started doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all these amazing high-res, like really realistic takes on cartoon characters. And it got him huge. It got him so many jobs and all that sort of stuff. And it's taking, you know, something, and if you're doing it in a completely different context to its original audience, and also if it's a parody of the thing you're doing, like
which is definitely what you're doing.
I do Sesame Street stuff sometimes, like some of my Bees for Brains and stuff, and you know, technically fan art isn't like amazingly okay, but it's like if it's in a different setting, and I know in Australia some of the parody laws are a bit different. Like,
okay.
If you're doing parody, then it's generally going to be a fair use kind of a use.
Mm.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, it's a tricky thing to do. But if you do, I don't think there's any, you know, thing wrong with making fan art. I guess selling it is the main gray area that, you know, because at conventions, obviously it's more looked as a blind eye, but I guess like the whole fact is like they could take you to court.
Yeah.
There was a guy that did some fan art of Skeletor.
Yeah, this is Dave Raposa. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
All right, and then they grabbed Skeletor
and put
it on the cover of the new Blu-ray for Masters of the Universe and didn't pay him or tell him or anything. And he only just picks it up in the store and goes, there's my picture on the cover.
He made this amazing fan art, and then the actual company use it as the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And he put it online, and there's been this huge, you know, talk about it. But he's had a lot of messages from people, and apparently there is a case there, and so he's going to try and pursue it. Because even though like the character belongs to them, his artwork does not belong to them.
Yeah.
So it's like,
this is the thing I know I struggled with, and I know a lot of other artists have struggled with, is like...
How do you draw Deadpool's buttocks properly? Is that your heading?
Yeah.
Read your mind, Maddie. Yeah. You're an open book.
No, but I know there's a difference between blatantly tracing and copying a character and then trying to sell it as your own. But I think I've seen a lot of fan art that I would want to buy just because it's somebody's own interpretation of this...
Yeah.
Somebody else's character, but it's still...
And as I was saying, like, you know, obviously there is a possibility that these big companies are going to come after you, but if you're just a single artist, you know, and you're not going to, like, you know, make a millions of t-shirt line and stuff, there's, like, nothing really that they're going to gain out of that except damaging, like, your sales. And, like...
Yeah.
And from what I've heard... Sorry.
You know, sorry, as just because, like, you, and as you're a fan of it, you're also, you know... promoting the product to new people and stuff like that, like, you know, and they're not going to lose from that in the end of the day. So.
And they didn't get that for ages, did they? It's the same as like people yeah, using, like, making their own music videos for a song, like someone who puts out. I mean, if they make an amazing music video on the, off their own back and it's on YouTube and they take it down because you're using someone else's music against, without permission, it's like, but yeah, but people are watching that, listening to that song, and they might just go, I like that. I'd like to listen to it on the way to work tomorrow. I'll buy it. Jeez, it's like free advertising.
I reckon fan art's a great way also to obviously get people initially interested in your art.
Because they see something they're familiar with.
Then they'll start following you, and then, you know, then later on you can present your own IP projects. Like Dave Raposa, he started doing all these fan art, and now he's doing, you know, Skull and Shark, and he's doing Starvale, and all these different kind of IP comics and projects he's doing. And no one would have known of him if he didn't, like, do that fan art to get the initial reach. And I'm kind of doing the same sort of thing, too. But what were you going to say previously,
well,
mate?
From what I've heard, talking to some industry professionals and that, I haven't heard many massive court cases, unless you're making thousands and thousands of dollars off people's other IPs. Like, the worst thing they'll do is ask you to take it down.
Yeah, cease and desist kind of letter.
Stop doing it, and then so you stop. But I was just going to say as well, there's this, the website that I'll be selling my t-shirts through, TeePublic. I bought so many t-shirts off there already, because it's a fan art t-shirt site. It's just thousands and thousands of artists selling fan art t-shirts. And some of them are so cool and so clever. I've bought so many already. But, like, and I just think that's such a cool way to promote artists and, make a little bit
and
of money.
And it's easy done now, like printing t-shirts and stuff like that. It's so cool. Is that the Mr. Moon thing going?
No, strong? Moon's something different.
You know, but I'm saying, is that still going as far as plugging your stuff?
Yeah. I'm still doing work for him and a couple of other...
Because that was a t-shirt as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's selling his own. Yeah. I've done the design.
But your design.
But these t-shirts I'll be selling on my own.
I just wanted to go in there because that word association game we played of the week where they said Moon and I said Madison.
I've got it too.
So that does exist, everybody. All right, that's about it then.
Fan art is something we could talk about for hours.
Forever.
So let's.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. No, I'll just
leave
that
food
question
for thought there. Yeah.
Cool. All righty. Thanks very much. We'll be back and gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. We've made it.
Awesome.
And if you've made it as well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Well, and thanks to you, Austin, for coming in.
No problem. Thanks
again,
for having me, guys.
Second time through. Yeah, it was good. Really, I think we've matured as an artist podcast now.
It was good. We got our you know, pretentious art critic hats on for a little bit, and then we were just jamming about some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're back to the usual shite next week. Maddie, thanks for coming in.
Thank
that was lovely. We again, we got lost in a proper conversation after just before Neeks and Twos, if you missed it, everyone. That's good. Yeah, I think we all do. Yeah, some good stuff. Hopefully, if you enjoyed it out there, get in touch.
Yeah,
let us know.
Thank you very much for having us.
People, when you write in and complain, be nice. Just for once.
Do I dare
you? No, don't write in and complain. Write in and say something nice.
You won't be able to catch Maddie because she's become a monk now.
Yeah.
She'll be running around hugging everyone.
Come and get her, and she'll just bulletproof you.
The Jin Jones. Alrighty.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Night, everybody.